to the Infinite Lives
podcast.
Game of the Year.
Game of the
podcast.
2013.
Game of the Year.
Game of the Year.
Games of the Year.
Game. Video game.
Hey, you got the Infinite Lives crew. I'm Dan P.
Really?
A magician.
You're a magician?
You got
There's
Game
John Hood. The hunter.
Hood.
Hood. Hud.
John Hood.
John Hud.
Okay. Big Hud. John Stud.
Hud. Big John. Big Bad John.
So sure. It's Kevin N. The Game Master.
Obviously.
The Game Master.
The Indie Game Master.
Indie Game Master.
I need like some chain-smoking little Mega Man midget.
And we got Dan Helmick, the Devilish Rogue.
Yeah. I want to be a level 4 fancy man.
Yeah. You got a spear.
Yeah. A spear.
So we're doing Game of the Year.
It is Game of the Year time.
It is a Game of the Year podcast.
We're
I don't know how long
stuff.
This is going to take. This is going to take a while.
Might.
Might not.
So we're going to have two parts to this.
The Lunai first... Divisky, done. Thanks for
All
listening.
All right, we're out.
Good night.
We got to
start
over.
In 2014.
So when mic drop.
We got to start over. We got to start over.
Boom.
Okay, so this first part we're gonna do
sibilance.
We have some awards.
Random awards sibilance. that we kind of came up with, and sibilance. We're going to distribute awards arbitrarily. And
the trophies are in the mail.
Yeah, and then the next part we're actually gonna do talk about the specific games of the year.
Yep.
We're gonna start off with a big list, and we're gonna whittle them down to top 10.
Sure.
We are not going to rank them because that would take too much work.
Oh, I'm going to rank them.
Well, you can rank them
in
on your own
mind.
Time. And then
no
yeah.
wants in your mind.
They're all number one.
And that's that.
They all get a participation ribbon. Just
they all get
to
my balls
know.
Laid on them.
Last year, we did it a little differently. We had individual yes. games. I believe mine was DayZ, John was Mass Effect 3. And Kevin was
to the moon.
Move the
then
tune.
Our top.
To space
then we did a top
with you.
Three,
yep.
Which was Walking Dead, Sleeping Dogs, and XCOM.
I believe so.
Yeah.
None of our individual tops got into that.
Sleeping well, that Dog. Was the point of.
I know.
That was the point of it.
I wasn't part of it last year, but Sleeping Dogs would have been my number one.
Yep.
Okay. Good to know.
All right, so let's do some awards, John.
Can All right,
you, let's start it off. Do whatever award.
All right, I'm gonna pick one, gentlemen.
Best
We're gonna
sound
go with,
design.
Yes, goes to Sound Shapes.
Goes to Lawrence of Arabia.
Best costume.
All right,
best
gentlemen.
Best cinematography. Okay,
I don't apply to this one, so I'm gonna start you guys off with the most unplayable early access game of the year. Nominees include
The Dead Linger.
That's what I'd
anyone
nominate.
Else
Prison Dead. Architect.
Oh really?
Yeah.
At least to start with.
Yeah, Prison Architect is up there. What other early access
I
games?
I don't I buy th- early access.
I think
games.
The Dead Linger is going to take it.
I saw
some of that shit.
Yeah.
All I needed to do was watch that video, and that was all I needed to know.
So, Prison Architect, I mean, I guess it would be on this because it feels like there's a lot still left out, and it's also expensive early access. I think it was over $30,
bucks?
Yeah, or $30 or something like that. You know, there's been, of the early access games I played, most of them have been kind of okay. Like Starbound is obviously not finished, but that's you know.
But it's a game that you can actually play and use most of the features on.
Even that car game that I mentioned in you know
the
our
podcast
last
this
podcast,
week.
You know that's still playable. But the Dead Linger is just—it's not even a game.
Yeah,
it's if you watch our YouTube,
it's an abomination.
If you watch the YouTube video that we put up there, everything is laggy, nothing works. Uh-huh.
You can't see your friend.
You can't see your friends.
You can't see what your friend's wearing.
There's no point to it. And yeah, it just seems like...
It's just bad.
It's bad.
It's broken.
So is that? Are we all in agreement?
Yeah,
is
yeah
that,
that's it.
The Dead Linger.
The Dead Linger, most
Dead
unplayable
Linger.
Early access game.
Yeah.
The Unfinished Pile of Shit Award, as I'm going to call it.
And Prison Architect, feel honored for being nominated.
Yeah, you didn't get shit on you. All right, guys. We're going to go next. I'm going to jump to Worst Trend.
Worst Trend.
What's the worst trend we have going this year, gentlemen? Nominees.
Where are some of the nominees?
So I've got a couple that are tied in together. Everything is early access. Like, everything.
That's a biggie.
Yeah.
Or...
especially with... it used to be Steam Greenlight. Now it's just like, early access.
Yeah.
There is still a Greenlight.
Yeah, but...
yeah, yeah.
But there is even the menu
yeah,
in
that's
Steam.
A, that's
of
a bad
games.
Trend. What else?
Sort of going with that, it's more specific. Early access games that charge full price or more. I mean, you're beta testing.
Sure.
You're sending in bug reports, and you're paying extra for that.
Mm-hmm. I got a trend. I've noticed a proliferation of free-to-play games where they have nothing, like, they have nothing you actually want to spend your money on. So even when your conscience demands that you fork over a few bucks for the privilege of playing the game.
Oh, tip jar.
Like, why do I even want to? There's nothing here for me to buy. I've played a lot of free-to-play games like that lately.
What's a couple examples?
Like one good one is Path of Exile. Aside from the stash tabs.
Oh, yeah. Like stash tabs are the most important
Like none
thing.
Of the cosmetic stuff I'm even remotely interested in is like, you make your sword look like it's on fire. Big deal. It would be nice if they had like some like invisible head slots or you know what I mean?
Invisible head
basically,
slots.
Basically, so whatever you your headgear is. Yeah, so if you want to just look at your character as opposed to the gear.
Or like just cosmetic clothing.
You know, you get a puffy jacket that's really awesome armor-wise, but you look like...
a dork.
A dork in it.
I think the stash thing is so crucial, though.
Is it?
Yeah, but
I don't know. So.
But it's really the only thing you want to buy. Everything else is like, make your portals orange. Fuck you.
Hey, if that's all they're charging you for and they put out such a solid game, that's...
Arena of War had literally nothing I wanted to spend money on. Marvel Puzzle Quest, which in every other way is a really fun game, unless you're just buying more health, there's almost no point in buying more cards because it's nothing you want most of the time.
Well, that and
you're buying random packs. Yeah. You're buying a chance at something.
You're buying a scratch ticket.
Mm-hmm. Right, Lotto.
And if you buy one of the packs that says, like, Guaranteed Punisher or something, that ends up costing you, like, $60.
Oh, yeah. Those are great.
So, yeah. You're better okay. off just going for the sweat equity there. And I don't think that's a problem so much as it's an uncomfortable trend because I want to have an incentive to spend money on this game. Mm-hmm. And it feels like it's just disappearing.
If anything, I'd want, like, some way just tip. Tipping is good.
Yeah. I mean, related to that is, DLC or microtransactions that are way too expensive. Like, I never really got into the Marvel
Heroes
thing because it just seemed like you would have to actually spend quite a bit of money.
$90 for the Avengers pack.
Yeah, that's just so dumb. That's not even like, I mean, $90 is more than
two
a real
games
game
you could get for that much.
You could pick up two 3DS games and have a little money left.
The only cost-effective way to get anything with real money in that game is to buy one of the random Gambit cards and then hope for the best.
Yeah, it seems so
they just
crazy.
Released Ghost Rider in that game, guys.
Oh, they're very desperate at this point.
They're
like, fuck everybody, you can play anybody. Gambit's new. Come play our game again, please.
Oh, you're good.
You can hear me?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like I can't hear myself.
We hear you.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're in there.
But
you're loved.
Oh, there we go.
Ah.
But yeah, I mean, $90 for a pack in like a free-to-play game just seems so insane. Like that doesn't make any sense.
I would actually agree with you. That would be my worst trend of the year is the ridiculous cost of things that you are essential to a game. You know, before a character might have been a couple bucks and then... now it's just like, no, you need to pay like $15, $20 if you want this character.
Do you want a car on Forza? Open your wallet.
I think they actually started more with League of Legends than any other.
Well, yeah. None of that stuff, though, was...
some of the characters got very expensive.
Yeah, some of the characters got...
late,
but
after you stopped playing.
Okay.
I mean, some of the characters, it'd be like however many points. And it was like, how much am I playing for this guy? Oh, $25.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, but weren't the skins even more expensive?
The skins were really expensive. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean,
but like the skins are not integral to,
and the skins are not cheap
them.
In Marvel Heroes either. Coming
yeah.
out of it.
Yeah, but like, I mean, I'm okay with them charging like a bunch for like skins or, you know, in other games like cosmetic stuff because that's just if you're just crazy and you just want to have, you know, something else like David in Path of Exile, his spark spell that it's like these lightning things on the ground, they're like spark spiders. It looks really creepy when there's a lot of them.
So he paid for that?
Yeah, he paid for that because he's insane.
Because he's David.
Yeah, but that's fine.
Well, it's also like just, a few bucks.
Yeah, it's crazy. But like, if it's like actual characters to play.
And especially if those characters are more, better and you make the game, you know, like actually more manageable. Than...
Well, like, I mean, at least, not to excuse League of Legends, but at least in League of Legends, there's always a rotating crop of free
True.
Characters.
But that's how you they draw you in.
Also. Yeah, yeah. That's how they draw you in, of course.
Well, and a lot of times, but one of those characters at least is very viable.
But the thing is, at least you can play like several different characters all the time and everything. But like Marvel Heroes is just, I never played it, but just what we've talked about before. And
oh yeah, you want Captain America, Dick? Good luck.
Yeah, it's just it seems so crazy.
Yeah. You want the heroes you want? Fuck you.
I've gotten some free heroes here and there, but they're usually characters I didn't want.
Yeah.
Or characters that were like some of the other starting heroes.
Another like disturbing trend, kind of like piggyback on that, is full price games having microtransactions. That is not cool.
Oh, Forza, we're looking at you.
Forza and Dead Space 3 are the two examples that come to mind. It's like, I don't mind paying for DLC, and obviously, yes, you don't need to actually spend money in Forza to get the most out of it, because, you know, it's a fun game, and if you like racing games, it's a fun game.
Except there's no cars or tracks to begin with.
But the thing is like, if there's, like, an XP bar, and then there's an XP boost that you pay money for, it feels like you're telling me that you don't want me to play the game. Like, it seems like, then why have the XP bar? Just take it out. I know why they have it, because they want to make more money, and that's
so like
cool.
With Dead Space 3, all of that crap, it's almost like saying, yeah, we know our game is too boring to play for its full length, because you don't want grind, we don't want grind.
Yeah.
Pay us a little money.
Why don't you just take away the grind and try to figure out something else with the game or something? I don't know. Or make the grind fun. I have no idea.
So is it time to figure out what the worst trend is?
I'm calling it microtransactions. In addition to them being in full price games, also the increased cost in free-to-play stuff. Mm. How does everybody feel about that?
That's pretty bad, but I think the early access trend is more insidious.
But we have a special award specifically for
it. But it's come across really this year. Too. It seems like the full price early access stuff has been happening this year.
I will say, though.
And a lot of it, too.
So full priced early access, then, is the only.
I will say, in rebuttal to the early access thing being the worst trend, the thing is with early access, at least it's called early access, and you should know, at least by now, what you're getting into. Like, if you're buying. Like, if I bought Dead Linger, if I actually did pay money for it, because it was gifted to me, and...
you would be crying.
And then I would be crying, but I'd be like,
but you realize, I knew what I was getting into when I spent that money.
Yeah, I should have known what I was doing. Like, when I play Starbound, I know that it is in a beta, and I'm going to have character wipes, and, you know, I'm not going to really whine
but
about character wipes.
For the person who spends $60 on Forza and looks at that car and says, wait, why do I have to buy that car with real money as opposed to earning it in the game?
All right.
It's all bad, but let's just say microtransactions.
Right. That's what I was. Those were just two caveats I was calling out specifically that we talked about that were very egregious.
All right. Worst new trend: microtransactions with a full price game.
But stop making everything early access. Also,
yeah,
and stop charging a lot for early access.
What is that one game that was like $90?
I could not find what it was. It came out in June as an alpha
early access, and it was like $90.
And then in July, it became like $80 and dropped $10 every month until release when it was full price.
Everybody's getting away from the Minecraft example.
You know, on the other hand, though, I have to admit that. I would enjoy more early access on some of the stuff I've backed on Kickstarter.
Yeah. When is Star Citizen coming out?
Star Citizen, like 2015.
Dude, I don't care. I'm going to play that game, and I will enjoy it.
They've started coming out with, like, some of the... I was
modules.
Like, oh, some of the game is there. And it's like, no, what it is like, some of the dogfighting, and it's, like, really broken.
All right, John. Let's get going.
Best multiplayer game, gentlemen.
All right, so we got, off the top of my head, we got Hammerwatch.
GTA 5.
We got GTA 5.
Monaco.
We got Monaco. We got Towerfall.
Samurai Gun.
We did not play Samurai. Did you guys play Samurai Gun last week? Well,
I did not.
Nope.
Okay. Nope.
Oh, we did play Samurai Gun one time.
One time.
And that was pretty great.
It was awesome. It deserved at least being mentioned.
What other multiplayer games have I played? I mean, I guess Path of Exile, but I wouldn't really count that as a multiplayer game. I mean, it is, but, like, yeah. And,
Sorry, Hammerwatch, GTA 5, Monaco.
Are we not counting MMOs?
Towerfall.
Towerfall. I don't know. Do we want to count MMOs?
We can. Okay. I don't care.
Final Fantasy 14.
Yeah, Final Fantasy 14.
NPC Quest 2013.
Hawken's pretty good. So, I mean, of all of these, I'm my personal opinion, it seems like it comes down to something like Towerfall and Monaco.
Monaco.
Yeah, Monaco is pretty fantastic.
Just playing that four players is magic.
Although there is a very significant split in that, and the reason you may have picked both is that one is co-op and one is versus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I definitely think Towerfall takes the versus category, and Monaco definitely takes the co-op category. Yeah. We had so much fun recording that Monaco video.
Yes, we did.
And I've probably had more comments about that video than any other video we've done so far.
That one time when, what is that? Was it me who put the bomb outside of the car?
You. Yes. Yeah, it
blew
you.
Up the car and killed me.
Sorry, that was me.
No, that was him. Yeah,
it wasn't. Whoever it is, they killed me. Yeah. I'm trying to get in the car, and then boom. Thanks, dick.
I think I said relax, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You did not know what you were doing. Hitting the wrong button is not knowing what you're doing.
I was still like trapped behind, like trying to get past guards. And I was like, all right, I'm finally making it, running. All of a sudden, I wasn't paying attention what you guys were doing. And it's like, what the fuck?
That was pretty good.
Monaco, like, I mean, how good Monaco was it comes to mind when I had things to do after I had to go somewhere.
You and felt bad.
We were playing right up to like the last
minute.
Like I have to leave right now, or I'm going to be late to my wherever I'm going. Like I would play to the last very second. It's like, all right, we got to get out of here.
Apparently, they just did a title update too that streamlines the story and a bunch of stuff.
Cool.
Sweet. Yeah, we should play that again. I mean, Towerfall might come up again because of it's going to get released on Steam soon, right?
Yeah, and there's going to be like a 16-player co-op version in the PS4 version.
Whoa.
Something called Quest Mode. I don't know what that is.
All right.
But it's supposed to be co-op.
Well, I'll definitely get that when I pick up my PS4 next year.
That would be cool.
For Infamous.
Yeah, Towerfall looks like it's going to be a good time.
So congratulations, Monaco. Yeah. You are the best multiplayer game of the year for us.
I'm going to butt in here with
are you now?
Something me and Kevin thought of, and I don't think we put it down, as a best first impression game. Shut up.
I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Best first impression game, and the reason why we thought of this was because of Samurai Gun. We all only played that like once, I think. Did we all play that at PAX? Oh, John didn't play it. So the three of us played
it. I didn't play it. I watched you guys play.
Yeah, because the fourth controller was borked.
This award is going downhill fast.
You have just totally... thanks for derailing this podcast, Dan.
Yeah, nice job.
All right. Never mind. Samurai Gun, yay.
I wrote it down.
I wanted to shout out Samurai Gun.
You were impressed.
Because we only played it for 5 minutes.
It was my best first impression game until we actually played it. Was that one that one espionage game.
Oh
God, that was so bad.
What was that game?
I don't even... I just remember waiting like 30 minutes.
It looked like Shadowrun Returns, and we were all excited.
Yeah, I was like, oh, this could be cool. And then I started actually playing the game, and I'm like... this is unplayable.
Well, what's funny is that you're watching other people play it, and you're like, man, that guy sucks. And then when you play, it's like, man, this sucks.
This terrible.
Game sucks.
Wow, there's no feedback on what's going on at all. Oh, look, the robot is dead. Why awesome. Now the guy's dead. Oh, well, I'm not buying this.
Yay, I get to leave now that they're dead.
Congratulations, Samurai Gun.
Woo. My favorite first impression game was that pole vaulting game.
Yeah, that game was fun.
Game was
where
good.
We beat that kid.
Sports
and
Friends.
And I got a wristband.
What was it called?
Sports Friends.
Sports Friends.
Because there's two other games that are involved
so much
with
weird,
that.
Like, super, like, homosexual undertones in that pole vaulting game.
All the short shorts and everything.
And the big old handlebar mustaches. It was like... If you took two Freddie Mercurys and square off against two Freddie Mercurys and go.
In poll voting.
Yeah, it was funny.
That was a good. That's a solid game. That's
yeah,
solid
plus game. I got to beat a little kid and make him sad.
Oh, that was good.
Wasn't he talking smack to you?
Yeah.
He was talking, so there you go.
He was talking a little smack.
He's talking a lot of smack.
Yeah,
all good. Right, so after best multiplayer game of the year, I'm going to jump into
our year in review.
Let's go to the throwback award, guys.
All right.
So this, I kind of came up award? With this. This Explain is the best the retro styled game,
all right.
New game that came out this
best
year.
Best pixel game.
Pretty much.
Let's hear it.
What do you
nominations?
What do you
for me? I mean, what Resonance is on there, and I'm the only one who played that.
What is Resonance?
That was a point and click.
Point
game.
And click.
Oh, yeah.
Monkey Island.
Yeah. I think that Adult Swim barbarian game you guys played.
Volgar the Viking.
Volgar the Viking. That's pretty good.
It had a very magic sword feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
Hammer Watch
for sure.
One. Monaco.
Monaco is another one.
You and your Gianna sisters, of course.
No, that's not pixely.
Oh, that's what you meant by throwback. Okay.
Well, I mean, but it's a
no.
Throw...
That'd be more of the other award. That'll
fine.
Come up later.
Yeah. No, I know which one's Kevin saving that.
Rogue Legacy is another one that I would put out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that's it has fair. A Super Nintendo feel to
yep.
it.
Mm-hmm.
Fist Puncher?
I didn't play that, but if you want it on
you
there, we'll
that,
put
right?
it on there.
Yeah, I played it.
You bought that. You pre-ordered it. You got that at
you didn't
PAX.
Like it so much when you actually did get it, right?
It's not the world's worst game.
Yeah.
It's just a game.
Yeah.
Well, we've got 5 on here right now. Do we want to add that? No, 6. No, 5. No,
that's
sorry.
Fine.
Yeah.
We're good.
All right, so Resonance, Monaco, Hammer Watch, Volgar the Viking, and Rogue Legacy.
All right, John, talk to me about Resonance. Why is that? Is would that be your
yeah,
best out of
that
all?
That would
these,
be my out
okay,
of all.
Why is it? Why is it your best?
Because it still it
persuade
used the
me.
Old style of gameplay, but it told a completely new story, and it was also the actual setting and the content in the game was something I hadn't seen in a point and click adventure game used previously.
What is the setting?
You're basically playing several different roles. You have several different characters that you switch between during it.
So it's Maniac Mansion.
Yeah. Right. But you have each of the characters has different abilities and different powers, of course, same as Maniac Mansion.
So it's Maniac Mansion.
And you're solving it's an adult type of story. So you're basically, there's a scientist who discovers that you can create like this weird portal between two points. You put these two devices in a certain point, and then between those two points, it creates this resonance deal. But yeah, it was a really well done story. It had a pretty good twist in the middle of it, or 2/3 of the way through it. And it was just like I said, it was not a kiddie story at all. It was very well done, and the voice acting in it was pretty good too. So that would be why I would pick that.
What was the last point and click adventure game you played prior to that?
Full Throttle during our Thanksgiving live stream.
I guess so.
That was the last one I had played.
What are the things?
Monaco next, Hammer Watch, which are I would call those similar style.
I would say Monaco is a little more like a Pac-Man. Kind
yeah,
that's of
true.
Game,
yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
Hammer Watch is way
gauntlet.
More like Gauntlet.
Gauntlet. Yeah, there we go.
It has a Gauntlet. Level.
So you've got your Pac-Man, your
cool.
Gauntlet.
Yeah.
And then you got Volgar the Viking, which is Magic Sword,
mm-hmm.
and Rogue Legacy.
Rostan.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with Rogue Legacy.
I would say out of all of those, I think Rogue Legacy has the best case against Resonance here. Out of all of those games,
yeah, I go with Rogue Legacy
because you guys all played that. I actually only played the one demo that they came out with. I have it. I just haven't had a chance to actually play the full game. Oh no, that's not true. I want to say Did I play through the first boss? I might have played through the first boss. I can't remember.
What, Rogue Legacy?
Yeah.
So,
or that might have been in the demo that I played.
What do you guys think?
All Descent.
What do you got?
Oh no, Hammer Watch. Just because of that gauntlet level,
that is pretty strong.
That was amazing.
I'm gonna have to side with Kevin here. I think Hammer Watch took it for me. It really hammered that old nostalgia note in a way that those other games, while they reminded me of old games, they didn't put me in that
mindset.
Right.
Yeah, I guess because Rogue Legacy is kind of. I mean, it's
that's
it's
exactly
throwback,
how I
but
felt
it's
with
not,
Resonance too.
Rogue Legacy is throwback, but it's kind of not really like a game we played back then.
Yeah,
there's
roguelikes on Super Nintendo
well, yeah,
that were platformers.
No, there's no parallel to that, so yeah.
Right, it took a couple old concepts and made something new.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It wasn't. It didn't have the sheer like. I felt like I was in Chuck E. Cheese and I was 8.
Yeah,
and I was with 3 of my buddies and we were just slogging our way through Gauntlet 2.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna have to go with Hammer Watch. So I'm
Hammer Watch
Kevin.
Is a good.
That was just nostalgia. It is so good of a feeling.
I'm gonna have to buy Resonance for all you guys.
Yeah, I think we're gonna go with Hammer Watch here.
Yep, Hammer
and
Watch.
We'll say that we should try
definitely
out
honorable
Resonance.
Mention to Resonance.
Yeah, we should try out Resonance because John is the only one who played it.
I think John bought it for me.
I might have.
And yeah.
All right. Well, bad. Congratulations to.
Hey, all of us have games we haven't played yet.
The Hammer yeah. Watch.
Like you have Far Cry 3.
I've had it for like a day, and I was sick.
How far are you in Far
and
Cry 3?
I hate 3? You.
Merry Christmas.
I really want to play Far Cry 3, actually.
Fun part is I can see that Kevin is accessing this document at yep. the same time, and so he's probably getting updates on all the stuff that I'm typing in.
Oh, yeah. I'm watching it as you
technology.
Type.
It's awesome.
Technology.
If you shared access, we could all be typing.
I did. Everybody should
start deleting
his
shit.
I can only look at it. It won't let me actually edit it.
Because when I put it in the document originally, I said, it asks you, it's like, do you want to share this and right. send it to him? So,
whatever.
All right, guys, moving on. We'll go to, yeah, why not? We'll do the Phoenix Award.
What's the Phoenix Award?
This is another one I came up with. I like fancy names for my awards.
This is a fancy name.
Yeah, it's.
Well,
I was agreeing with you.
It's not best multiplayer game.
On. Hey.
No, I'm just saying that is a straightforward title that tells you exactly what the award's about.
I call that one the Battle Royale Award.
I had on my solo class or solo cast the glitchiest it's like the glitchiest clusterfuck of a good game.
There you go.
Republican primary.
I like Republicans.
Wait, that's a dream ahead.
The political machine.
Right, you were saying what's the
Phoenix Award? The your award for a franchise or a single game that
or a company
that rose from the ashes in your eyes since in the past year. Hmm. So a company you thought couldn't make anything good
or a game series
that you whatever. Even if it's a game that's a spiritual successor to something, I think you could use that as well.
So what is
mine is going to be Assassin's Creed 4, guys.
Oh, that is a big one for me.
You remember last
saddest,
year.
Yeah, that was the saddest podcast that we did. That was probably the saddest podcast.
I was very dejected.
Or one of the saddest podcasts.
I've got to go with Zelda. I mean, Twilight Princess and Spirit Tracks and Phantom Hourglass and Skyward Sword. Like, the series was getting stagnant. And then this year, you get Wind Waker HD, which people have been begging for. You get... especially A Link Between Worlds, which fucking amazing.
And then next year you get Hyrule Warriors.
I'm looking forward to that show.
I know you are.
Oh, that's a. I wasn't thinking
with,
about
I will
that.
Play with. I will play that with you.
I wasn't
Dan.
Thinking about that.
Zelda
that's a
is
good,
coming
that's a good,
back to life.
Speaking of which, I'd like to mention one.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to bring up one that was probably not one you guys played, but Dynasty Warriors 8. Although a lot of people say, oh, that's the same old thing, mm-hmm. I think the reviews this year bear it out that it was actually an improvement on a lot of the other games in the series up till now.
Yeah, and the reviews actually were kind of favorable.
I actually found that Dynasty Warriors 8 took the sum total of the previous Dynasty Warriors games from like the PS2 era on, and they really took the cream of the crop and made an excellent game out of it, added just enough improvements to make it fun and refreshing, but not so much that you felt like you were going into a completely separate game.
I want a next gen version of that engine so that when we actually play co-op, it doesn't make the system crawl to a standstill.
Yeah, or make like half the guys disappear.
Yeah, that's the only reason I haven't wanted to play those with you recently. I like playing them. We have fun.
Yeah, I never tried 8 on co-op with anyone. 7 I tried with Jim and a bunch of guys disappeared, so I'd like to see what 8's
like. We played that too.
Yeah, I haven't played 8 with anyone, though.
We'll play Warriors Orochi 2 again. Why not?
But well, that one was pretty old. But yeah, Dynasty Warriors 8 I'm going to add to that nomination list, even though I'm sure it won't win.
How about Tomb Raider?
Yes.
Tomb Raider came out this year.
Yep. With Tress effects.
with hair. And that game series is probably dead.
Prior to that, what was the game before? Underworld?
I think so.
We both played.
No,
that.
I played Legend or whatever the one where.
Oh, you
they
didn't play Underworld.
It.
I played Underworld.
That ass.
It wasn't as good as Legend. Legend was really good.
Legend was a good one.
But I'm talking
game.
About even just like relevant.
Yeah,
relevancy.
Like, one, that, and that the crazy part is that everybody before it even came out was already writing it off, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
They were like, it's going to be, look at her. She's all grungy.
Getting
and
all tortured. And
yeah.
And
oh, it's stuff. Torture I porn.
I mean, the one thing I will say is
you're
that
torture porn.
While the game itself was very good, there still wasn't quite enough tomb raiding in it to make it seem.
Yeah.
That was the part that I wish was missing from it.
I think if Tomb Raider gets consideration for this award, it would probably be on the basis of making Lara Croft like an actual relevant character.
Yeah, she was much. Yeah. She was actually
in the gamer zeitgeist kind of.
So
thing.
What's it going to be, guys?
So what?
Four
what
strong contenders.
For me, it's Assassin's Creed 4, else played that. So, but you guys watched me play it, so I mean, you can have an opinion on it.
Yeah, what was the other ones?
Zelda, Dynasty Warriors, and Tomb Raider. So I'm just calling all those series. Not we don't need to do individual games.
Do we have any companies or something that kind of came back from the dead? I was talking to Kevin about considering Sony, but they weren't really dead or like going down.
No, they were.
They had a very good year.
Yes.
They just got a shot in the arm.
Yeah, they got more of a shot in the arm. It wasn't like they were rising from the ashes.
Breaking news, THQ is back.
I'm going to recommend the company made the Ouya for this award.
Why is that?
Because it makes no sense whatsoever.
From the ashes. How about NVIDIA for the shield?
Sure.
No.
Yeah.
Mad Catz is making one too, guys.
What about the game stick?
I want to say that this award is probably in between Zelda and Assassin's Creed, just because of John's reaction to it.
Yeah, but John doesn't have that little kid who just has favorite toy be broken.
It was so sad.
I will say though, with Assassin's Creed, that was like one like bad game that was kind of like not received favorably.
But everybody had the same mindset I did going into AC4.
But it did seem sort of like Zelda had come to a complete standstill.
Yeah.
And now it's sort of sparked back.
I actually never wanted to buy a Zelda game
again. I guess if you think about it, we could kind of make this a larger thing where it's kind of like a Nintendo rise from
that happens all the time.
I know, but I mean, but
no, I'm like, fine going
they
with Zelda.
Have,
guys.
They have had a good quarter, Nintendo.
I think Zelda is probably
Zelda's fine. That's my personal thing because I'm the only one who's played that game. So we've all played Zelda, and I agree. Zelda, the Link Between Worlds alone
was magic.
I got one more.
Yeah,
and I know Zelda's probably going to win this, but I got to say that Dead Rising 3 was shockingly good.
That was surprising.
Compared to what I was expecting, because I was no fan of Dead Rising 2. I loved Dead Rising 1 until, you know, I got to the point where I was trying to get the Mega Buster, and I was like, this fucking sucks. And Dead Rising 2, I didn't even finish because I didn't like it that much.
See, I finished it.
But Dead Rising 3 I liked so much, and it just came out of left field. I'm actually excited to see what comes next out.
And then even those previews for Dead Rising 3 were not interesting.
A lot of people weren't interested in it. It was my saving grace after Watch Dogs got delayed.
That was an excellent game.
And for being a launch title. I mean, a launch title that you don't expect good things of. It shouldn't be good.
The crazy thing is that Capcom, like, they're not known for taking the feedback. They're known for like, let's going to continue to do the same game over and over again with just minor tweaks. This time,
fucking Ultimate Marvel Capcom.
This time, they took all of the stuff that was good about Dead Rising 2, like all the good parts of it, the combo weapon system and all of that. And they just streamlined it. They basically went, okay, you don't want to have to deal with crafting benches? Fine, just craft shit as you go.
Yeah, just have as much fun as you can.
Yep. Oh, look, there's weapon lockers now, so you don't actually have to go searching for a goddamn piece for your combo weapon. You can actually just grab it and then make your combo weapon.
And then later on, you can buy the skills so that you can sub different things for
exactly.
Things.
And then
that is pretty cool.
Handful of gems with flashlight, laser sword.
Yeah. Or
television monitor plus what was plus it? Hubcap laser sword.
What is it? Gun? Any gun plus what's the other portion?
Any club?
Split shot.
Yeah, once you uncover the split shot, you basically got the game won.
Because he's Nick Ramos. He's a hardworking Mexican.
He's a Mexican,
not a Mexican. I mean, the storyline in that game is just throwaway. It's about as throwaway as you can get for a zombie.
It thrills
game.
Me that we have another Hispanic protagonist,
and it does have a very cool cameo in the end too.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. Isabelle's a bitch.
No, not just her. Remember?
Yeah, I know.
Do you want spoilers, Dan?
No.
It's fine.
Oh, yeah, sure. Tell him. Go ahead.
It's end of year. Spoilers.
Chuck Green shows up at the end of that
game.
Yeah.
Yeah, he follows you around. Helps
Nick Ramos's girlfriend is Chuck Green's daughter.
Yeah, it's Katie,
who is in the second game. Yeah, it was,
old Chuck Green.
Now she's a gothy teenager.
He's got a grizzly beard, but he's still wearing that motorcycle jacket.
Yeah.
It's funny because now I'm playing through again as Nick. Well, when I'm playing it, and I'm wearing Chuck Green's outfit, so I want to see both of them
wear the same outfit. Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
That could be that actually I could fight for Dead Rising 3 too, actually.
I really felt like Dead Rising 3 because Zelda, I kind of knew what we were going to I kind of knew what you guys were going to get. And I admit it was well done, but Dead Rising 3 came way out of left field for me.
Yeah, and actually tell the truth, I mean before they revealed, you know, that Dead Rising 3 is being made,
like
I thought the series was
that
done.
Looked like an awful game.
Oh,
the frame rate of
and then the combo
the
vehicles.
Yeah. So we get a come from behind victory? At the
Come from behind victory.
Yes.
Stolen from behind Zelda. Wow, I like it.
Dramatic.
And Zelda's getting ready to cross finish line. And who the fuck is that? It's Nick or.
I feel like
Nick Ramos.
I feel like I'm watching one of those Tokyo horse racing.
So I'm just calling it the Dead Rising series, and then the runner-up is the Zelda series.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's a good one.
Hey,
I'm happy.
Contribute to the podcast.
I'm happy with that.
Nobody says that.
Everyone thinks it.
We always feel sad when you're not. I felt sad when you're.
All right, guys. News story of the year.
DayZ standalone got released. Well, no. Oh, never mind. Don't write it down.
It goes on the list if you want
it. Don't write it down.
I'm gonna have to go with
a year later.
Microsoft's initial flubs and Sony's sweep of.
I think it's the price, the Sony PlayStation 4 price when they announced that. That was pretty crazy.
So can we just dump this into the Microsoft and PS E3 announcements?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
I thought that was a...
Or no, how about Microsoft and Sony? No, because the reveal... Microsoft's price thing was at their console reveal. Sony didn't reveal the price until
E3.
Yeah.
No, and that was after Microsoft.
No, I thought it was a couple hours later.
They didn't...
Because we made a whole remark about...
So Microsoft's initial announcement...
Oh,
was
like
right before
MTV?
E3. No, they had that thing on at the end of May, and then a few weeks later they had the
E3.
Well, you can argue it's all still part of the same story.
So Microsoft and Sony's console announcements.
Console reveals, That was probably the biggest story of
How
the
about,
year for gaming.
Watch Dogs getting pushed back? For such a hype game and
for showing
something.
Off how much they kept showing it to the press like it's a finished game.
For such
game.
A hype game.
Looking forward to it, guys. Launch
game,
day for these two
consoles.
For such
a game that seemed finished and for such a game that seemed like kind of the next gen systems we're going to lean on, absolutely.
Well, like, Sony definitely was leaning on that
big
time.
Yeah, to be like, here you go, this is going to be the
right,
reason.
Kevin?
This is going to be the reason why you're going to be buying a next gen system. Yeah. It's not going to come out now.
Nope.
And it was like a month before it came out, too.
It was close.
It was like last second.
It was like October. They're like, by the way, it's not coming out until early next year.
We forgot to
and
send
then
out
when Drive
the, gold, Club, the gold copies to the factories.
When Drive Club did that, like, the next week. And it's like
Sony double fucked on that one.
Yeah.
Fist in
At least Microsoft
ass.
Had plenty of first-party support on, for their stuff to go out of the game.
Fist in ass. So,
here's one, probably won't win, but worthy of mention, LucasArts.
LucasArts.
Farewell.
No more Herc's Adventures.
That was a big, that's pretty big.
That was a big blow to me, no more Herc's Adventures.
that's a pretty big one.
Yeah.
We had a whole podcast about that.
Made me sad.
Or a whole part of
it. It still makes me sad.
Although, of course, as they aged, they became senile. They had to be put down. Remember when we looked at the games that came out?
I want a LucasArts resurgence so it wins the Phoenix Award next year.
With Dead Rising 4.
Yeah.
What?
I don't care if Disney reopens the studio.
Maybe Double Fine can purchase the rights to Maniac Mansion.
They've been slowly but surely picking up all their old license stuff. So
yeah, and they got Costume Quest
and
back.
Stacking and all they're slowly but surely.
Well, you never know.
And they've been very damn successful on their Kickstarter campaigns.
Another one to mention, at least mention, is the Fez guy quitting.
Phil Fish.
Oh,
No Fez 2. That's pretty big.
Fish going crazy.
I mean, it's a pretty big game within the culture, and he just kind of quit.
It is very big.
He quit over.
I played Fez.
I beat it.
High five, Kevin. Yeah.
Oh. I have it in my cart. I was going to buy it, but then I guess Steam forgot all of my payment info.
I guess somebody's
getting that. I'm making a lot of excuses.
For Christmas thing,
I got
too.
I got one that's kind of a downer story, but it was an important one.
Please.
The lady from, whatchamacallit, that worked on Mass Effect.
Oh, yeah. The,
oh, that
the
was
bullying
really sad.
And stuff. I mean, well, not bullying, but the super harassment online.
But it was a really important story, nonetheless.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, we've talked about it several times over the year about kind of, you know, I mean, stop being
the way
dicks.
The way we talk to people.
The way we talk to each other as gamers, like, we got to just chill out.
Here's one. Probably won't win, but... YouTube and their copyright claim.
That is a big one.
Late entry.
I mean, because it mostly seems like it's affecting the video game.
It's
videos.
Only game videos.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big one.
All right. Like, what do you do now? Yeah. Like, I've noticed most of my entertainment watching is, you know, like...
Game videos.
I mean, usually when I'm on YouTube, I either watch random rap videos or game videos.
Or sports highlights.
Or both.
Or teenagers shaking their ass.
I sometimes will go through an NBA phase where I'm just like, I want to watch a lot of guys
dunks.
Dribbling.
The professor.
But also
sickest slam.
And then when
cats
I know
playing with things,
when I know I'm way deep down is when I'm listening. When all three of those things happen, there's rap video, a rap music, rap song playing with NBA stuff, but it's an NBA 2K13 or something video, and it's a compilation that I know I'm like way deep. I'm like, I gotta get out of
rabbit hole, gotta climb out.
I meant to do my laundry 4 hours ago.
That's right, how I guys. Get with Wikipedia, honestly.
Yeah,
Wikipedia,
too.
I'll read one
too.
Article and then another article, and I'm, like, balls deep, like, 50 years back in Marvel Comics lore, and I'm just like, why the fuck do I care what Ant-Man 2 died of?
Or what just happened?
That's where I usually get sucked in, is, like, comics or movies or something like
Actually,
that.
What happens to me is when I like reading about random, like, countries. So I was reading about the Faroe Islands. I guess they're owned by Denmark. They're, like, north of Great Britain.
Okay.
And I was just like, this seems cool. What's your economy like? What am I doing?
You know, the other day...
What's your currency?
I almost missed a job interview because I was busy reading about countries and how they experience hyperinflation. Because that shit's incredible to me.
Yeah,
they're like, towards the end there, it costs 2 million, you know...
Cougarans.
2 million lira to buy like a piece of gingerbread. And you're just like, holy fuck. And then you're like, oh God, it's like 11:30 already.
All right. So biggest news story of the year, Wikipedia.
We'd like to thank everyone else. Wikipedia, you win.
All right. Well,
Microsoft and Sony.
We know this is going to be Microsoft and Sony.
Nothing else can even get close.
It started off the console wars proper. I feel like we're in 1992 again.
I'm going to give the runner up to the LucasArts closure.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
What do you want as the runner-up?
What were the other ones again?
Got the Watch Dogs delay, Phil Fish quitting gaming, BioWare, the employee bullying, and then the YouTube copyright issues.
All right, fine, whatever.
Yeah,
fine,
I mean,
who
cares?
I mean, for actual importance, I'd probably go with the YouTube thing.
It
affects all of us.
It affects me more, though, that LucasArts is closed.
The YouTube thing is going well. It's going to be
a big
story.
Well, then you can do your solo podcast.
I think
called
it may
the John
be a
Awards.
Big, so YouTube, I think, is going to be a big story next year. Also.
Yes, it's
going to.
It's
going
a continuing story.
Exactly.
To Absolutely. See how far this goes.
So all right, it'll be news story of 2014.
Yeah,
YouTube.
But for starting off the console wars proper.
Two more guys. Worst game purchase or gaming purchase of the year.
Worst game or gaming purchase of the year.
Yes. SimCity. Boom. Let's go ahead to the next one.
I've got two nominees.
That's strong.
I think we just each get one of these that we can...
We can all just vent about.
Everybody
that,
can.
All right. I'm
that
gonna
is
vent
strong.
I'm going to vent about SimCity.
That game looks like it was going to be so good, and then you started hearing the slow march towards ineptitude.
Oh,
hey, look how small the cities are.
Oh, no. I just thought of mine.
Okay. So SimCity. This is how...
The announcement was pretty cool.
This is how bad it is, right? This is how bad this game is. So... I'm going to reference Kotaku again. I'm sorry. But somebody had an updated review.
Thank you, Kevin.
had an updated review of SimCity.
An updated
right?
review.
Yeah, they're like, well, you know,
8 months later.
8 months later or 9 months later. So I was like, okay, I'll read this. Right? This seems pretty good. It was just, it was basically fuck. It still fucking sucks. What am I looking at?
It's a Christmas card.
Oh, yeah, that makes me happy. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, so SimCity, it seemed to have a lot of promise, and we're willing to compromise on some things.
I was
willing to compromise on, like, well, the size online. Of the city is not going to be so big, but the online is going to be cool because you're going to be multiplayer and you're going to be working with each other and getting resources and helping each other out with power, and, like, I can take all the crash and you can do all this and you can have a bunch of jobs. And none of that happened.
Mm-hmm.
None of it happened.
Yeah.
It all happened in this nebulous place. I would have rather have all of that sharing stuff and the multiplayer stuff actually be broken or not in the game at all. If it's going to be like this kind of, I'm not really sure if I'm going to get the power that I requested, or
it works on my computer.
I sent $100,000 to my friend and he got it 3 days later. Not in game, in real time. Like a week later.
No, I
don't think D. Lee still has seen the space shuttle.
Yeah, no, that was my favorite. Is you going, hey, we built the space shuttle. It's great. D. Lee, can you see it? I don't see it.
Where is it?
It's
and then like two weeks later.
D. Lee, did you see it? No, I still don't see it.
Where is it?
I still joke with him every time I see him where it's just
did
like,
you see the spaceship?
You should totally log back in and just see if you see the spaceship again. Like, for a game that's your core stuff, that would be like Assassin's Creed and being like, oh, we're going to have pirates. And there's no pirates. Or the pirates, like, act really, I don't know. I can't even.
The pirates
actually act like
the guys in that cricket game?
I can't have an analog. I don't know what an analog is. Right. It's so bad.
All right, Helmick, you're up.
That's easy. That's real easy. My worst game purchase of the year? RPG Maker VX Ace.
Hey, I have that game.
VX Ace?
I have poured so many dollars into that. And it suckers me every time I read that description. So easy a child can use it. Bullshit.
A child savant who knows C++ code.
Maybe Gary Coleman playing that 8-year-old in Harvard or whatever that movie was.
This is really funny because this whole week I was thinking like, man, I really want to make an RPG with that RPG Maker. Maybe next year I'll do it.
No, you said that last year, Dan.
And then after like a few days, I finally realize I'm like, that's not gonna happen.
Never gonna happen.
I start fucking. It always happens the same way. I open the thing and start playing around with it a little bit. And I was like, oh,
making games is hard.
I made a couple NPCs you could talk to.
Thanks, bro.
See, this is how it works. You farm it out. You work on one portion. Kevin works on another.
Oh my god.
You have Dan writing, making the vistas.
Oh.
Then you have a game.
Oh my god.
Then you put it on Steam Early Access and you charge $10 for it. It's and it's one room.
See, here's the thing.
All
for
that
the
happens.
Amount of effort it takes you to make a 10-hour game in RPG Maker, you can make like a 30-hour like playable thing in Shadowrun Returns.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, it's not customized the way you want it. Mm-hmm. You're more limited in your scope and setting and things, but god.
How many of the packs did you buy? Okay, we'll move on.
Like four?
Oh, and they're like $20.
I know.
That's a lot of money.
Dude. That's $80.
On pixels.
I know.
Different pixel swaps.
I was a sucker, man.
Did you buy RPG Maker?
Shut up. I joined their forums.
You're like, how the fuck do I make this stuff,
learn
guys?
How to make things. These guys are invested. These guys are the hardest working game developers who never made anything.
Yeah.
They're just
I get
like,
that too.
Here's the soundtrack I made. And I'm like, what the fuck? Oh, all right. I'll listen to it. And then I'm listening to him going, wait, I'm subscribing to this sickness.
I'm getting pulled in.
All this is wrong. But the weirdest part is that when I look at my library, I look and it's like games, you know, 300, you know, and then nothing. And then it's software one. And I know what that one piece of software is.
Dan and I, we have that too.
And that one piece of software cost me the same as like 20 of the games I own on there. So that's mine.
Nice.
Oh, that is really good.
Kevin?
Unfortunately, I think I bought that last year.
Yeah, okay.
Did you buy it after or before our Game of the Year podcast, Kevin?
I think before.
Okay.
No. So the one you're expecting is not it. It is not Lunae Divitzi.
Well, I didn't think it would
cost
you
didn't spend
that
much. Yeah.
It's Starseed Pilgrim.
I mean, karmically, you spent a lot on it.
So it's Starseed Pilgrim.
That was the one that like everybody was like, man, this game is awesome. Everybody should try it out.
Rad. This thing's on
cool.
a game.
You're a space farmer on like a cube and you jump and there's plants, I guess. It's blocks grow out of shit and they grow randomly.
Did anybody else play this?
No, I watched the quick look and I went, that's not a game. I'm not going
to
play that.
Yeah, people were talking about how revolutionary and weird it was and I just wanted to punch.
It made no sense. So Lunae Divitzi made no sense, but you could tell what they're trying to do. They just made a bad game.
Yes, they made a bad game.
Starseed Pilgrim, they didn't make a game. They made, it's like playing Nobi Nobi Boy on the PS3. That thing, called a toy rather than a game. Yeah. But they still call Starseed Pilgrim a game despite there's no fucking game there.
So Kevin, this is what it looked like to me. When I was looking at Lunae Divitzi, it felt like they were trying to come out with this generation's Out of This World and just failing completely. Because if you remember, Out of This World was like that. They didn't explain shit when it first came out. And Starseed Pilgrim looked like basically a Japanese Zen garden.
No, you know what it felt like to me? It felt like somebody went, hey, you know, Phil Fish made Fez. It has all these hidden puzzles. I can make something with hidden puzzles. Except Phil Fish had puzzles that were set up with, like, their symbols you can learn. Uh-huh. Meanwhile, Starseed Pilgrim, it's like, you can't learn this. Because that green seed will grow a different way every fucking time. Then you go into the Negaverse or whatever it is. You touch a star and you're in an all-black world that's the inverse of what you were growing. So the walls are now air. So, and the air is now walls.
I don't think I've ever actually seen this
You seem
game.
Kind of infuriated. I watched a little bit of it.
It's pretty... Okay. Yeah,
I
just...
I spent, true, it's not much, but $6 on it. And those $6, I'm more angry about that than RPG Maker, because RPG Maker, I could trick myself into thinking I could use it eventually.
Every 3 months you have this
I think
this
that actually
nice...
makes it worse.
No, I'd rather daydream. It's like when you buy a lottery ticket and you won't win, but you could daydream about it.
RPG Maker is a lottery ticket.
It's a dream. It's a dream in your dream.
You're buying into the dream. It's probably not going to happen, but at least you can dream.
You have a 1 in 365 million chance.
Here's how I felt about Starseed. Here's how I felt about Starseed Pilgrim, though, is... I watched the quick look on Starseed Pilgrim, and it made me immediately turn around and play Fester's Quest on my Nestopia emulator. That was how little I wanted to play Starseed Pilgrim. I was like, oh, where's Fester's Quest? At least it's a game.
I bought it only because I didn't see the quick look or any videos. I just heard people saying on message boards, oh, there's going to be another great game like Fez where it just twists your
Trolling.
Mind. Yeah. All right,
John, how about you, buddy?
Fucking trolls.
I'm really trying to think of something here.
Yeah,
you might have just had a good year.
I might have, actually.
You might have had a good year.
In which case, fuck you, John.
We didn't talk about... I think I bought this after our Game of the Year podcast, but it's not very good. Towns.
Ooh!
Oh! That is a good one. Yeah. That is a good one.
Yeah.
But that was definitely
I didn't just buy that for myself. I bought that for you, Dan.
That was definitely
I was like, this might be
year.
Cool. But no, I didn't buy it until after this podcast.
Although, we only tried it
for me, I bought it before.
Yeah, you did buy it before.
And
you have like 40 hours played.
It's
because you left it on
the loading screen.
The game's bad.
Remember when we counted up?
The game is bad.
Remember counting up like what games you played the longest on Steam? And it's like Towns, apparently.
I was trying to like that game.
That's Dwarf Fortress, but worse.
All right, shall we come to a consensus?
They all lose.
I think it's personal.
It's all
I think
of them.
Everybody loses. If I was going to vote for one, I would actually vote
for
RPG Maker
as
I
well.
I was very convinced. Kevin almost got me with the
Sim
lottery
close,
ticket
though.
Thing.
Honestly, I think as far as like in terms of like travesty and expense, RPG Maker takes it. But if I'm looking at it objectively, with the whole spectrum of gaming and importance, it's got to be SimCity.
Yeah.
If this award was worst game, it would be SimCity, definitely. But I do like the RPG Maker argument.
RPG Maker steals from you. It steals your money. It steals your hope.
No, it and, gives you that hope and then steals more.
It gives you hope and then you realize there is none.
It's like someone who boosts you up to like these incredible levels. You know what it reminds me of? This isn't like any sort of movie in particular, but I'm just imagining like a guy who gets his buddy to like try out for a team. He's like, yeah, I know you were going to go like junior varsity wrestling, but dude, you got to try out for varsity this year. I really think you can do it.
You're the best I've seen.
And then he goes out there and then the friend who boosts you like pins you in the first round of tryouts.
And laughs.
And like kicks you in the ribs. It's like, fuck.
Steals your girlfriend.
Hey, fuck you, wuss.
Yeah. And then also makes you pay for it.
That was RPG Maker. It brought me to the highest heights and then the lowest lows. And those lowest lows were lower because of those heights.
And then after you're low for too long, you'll come back and go, you know what? Next time you will do it.
Right? Because you start forgetting.
And you know what?
You'll be there. You're good.
You know These what? Guys if, can make it. Why can't? Oh, that's why.
If the award is also purchase, like if the word purchase in there,
yeah.
RPG Maker would win. Because
I'm there. I've already written it down.
I've only done like maybe 20 minutes, 30 minutes in it. I played SimCity for at least 50 hours.
Yeah,
right, RPG Maker.
I tried to make that.
Because Ace cost bank, son.
I bought that on a 50% off.
I bought those stupid packs.
We got it. You won. It's okay.
I bought those packs.
Those packs. I bought the orchestral soundtrack pack. I bought the sci-fi weapons pack.
All right, Kevin.
The
quick.
Urban textures.
We got
pack.
One award, but this is only going to be you probably who's talking about it.
I think I'm going to win.
Most expensive game of the year, yes, Kevin.
All right, everyone, name your most expensive game.
This was going to be GTA 5, but I didn't actually buy.
Yeah,
it.
Pussy.
You didn't pull the trigger.
Yeah.
Actually, I got one, but it's pretty much the same as Dan's most expensive game. He's just forgot about it.
What?
BioShock Infinite and Crysis 2 or Crysis 3.
New video card with
right. We bought video cards to get them.
Oh yeah. But then I
although
mean,
you
I
got
also,
cut the
I
price
did.
In half because it's two games.
Well, I didn't. I never installed Crysis 3 because I never got a code that worked.
Yeah,
So we're just going
right.
BioShock Infinite then for you guys.
Yeah,
you're right.
BioShock Infinite.
How then, much was that card?
$350, I think.
Yeah,
just, it's a good. It's a solid. Like it,
that.
It's
a solid. That's a solid one. But you ain't got shit on me.
This is a funny
Peggle 2.
Peggle 2, $520.
No. Let's not forget tax, because you're in Washington. Unless you got,
Amazon,
no tax.
Does Amazon charge you tax?
I forget. Yeah.
Yeah. They.
Yeah. So 10%. It's a good
$550 for the console.
$580.
I paid 2-day shipping. And I had to get the bundle with two controllers.
$700 for Peggle 2. Kevin wins.
I are a winner.
Although I think...
Just to pad out the time a little bit, I want to tell you guys a very quick story about the most expensive
pad
game.
Out the time? We're at an hour already.
Go ahead.
But just because, you know, this is pretty much a field of one for this award. So I want to tell you guys a really quick story about... A game called King of Fighters 94. So my friend Jim and I, Jim's a friend of the podcast.
Yeah.
Jim and I played King of Fighters 94 in our first year of college together, and we played the fucking crap out of it. And I found out towards the end of the glory days of the PS2 that in Japan they came out with a version called the King of Fighters 94 Rebout.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a release of King of Fighters 94 with new backgrounds. I was like, awesome. So I decided to look up how much it'd be for Jim, and I bought him for Christmas. So here's what I ended up having to buy him. I bought him a conversion kit with discs.
For the
PS2.
Yeah.
And then I also had to install these little things that let you open up the PS2's lid and then swap out like this.
Kevin
this
knows all about that.
I had one of those.
Yeah. Right. So you know that thing costs like $60.
Yeah.
At the time.
Kevin had his friend, the British guy, do that stuff for him.
No.
Stuff.
He got me the game.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I had to get
I'm
the
not done.
Kit.
Keep going.
King of Fighters Rebout, the actual disc, cost $95.
Yeah.
All right.
Dan,
so altogether, it was like $130, $150 with like shipping and tax. And all
for
that
one
shit.
Game.
For this game. Jim and I sat down to play it. We were just so super excited.
Uh-huh.
Played it twice.
Oh.
It's just the same.
Then like a month later, Jim had like his PS2 disconnected and we were playing his PS3 and stuff.
Oh.
But here's the bitterest pill to swallow. They came out with a King of Fighters 94 to 97 collection on the PS2 for like $30 a month after I bought that.
Yep.
Oh. Imports.
And that was an expensive game.
Imports are a dangerous game.
I want my PS Vita TV.
Also, I think Ranma and Half Battle Renaissance for the Japanese PS1 went up there for me. I think that's probably about $500 for me.
Ooh, Lunar One, you know, Lunar Silver Star Story.
Sega CD?
Well, I had that, but real cheap. Actually, I bought a Sega CD. I bought that game from the video rental place.
And then you bought a Sega CD later.
And then I bought the Sega CD for that. The Sega CD wouldn't work, so I ended up having to get an XI, the Genesis and Sega CD all in one. $200 plus 20 for the used
game. Don't let your...
I know a guy who spent $700 so he could get the Sega CD all in one Japanese version so he could get the Shadowrun Japanese game that never came out here.
People, don't let your kids
and
play
it's
video games.
It's a terrible game.
This is a bad.
It's
bad
so
road.
Bad.
This Kevin is a... wins. The year.
Oh, yeah, Kevin wins.
I win.
To be fair, Peggle 2 is a very good game.
Parents, don't let your kids play
yeah,
video
but it's
games.
Not like
it is a bad
road.
No,
good.
Not at all.
It is a bad
could have been
road.
Worse. You could have bought a Japanese PS2 on launch so you could get Magic Ring.
I didn't need that. I had the American one.
Yeah,
launch.
Kevin got screwed with his bundle on that.
I got Armageddon on DVD.
Okay, so Magic Ring, quick. This is what it is. Let's play King's Field and take out everything that's even halfway playable about it.
And that game was not too great.
And King's Field was not great for most people.
I
felt
actually,
bleak and weird and empty.
I loved the original King's Field.
That's because you're bleak and
I'm
weird
ashamed
and empty like
of that. I am so ashamed.
All right, guys. We're going to close out the awards.
All right, read them off again.
No, we got one award.
Oh, we got one
the
more?
The final one.
Best moment of the year for the Infinite Lives crew.
We got a couple. We got
I nominate our extra live stream.
We got extra live stream. That was tremendous. That was really fun.
If we narrow it down, Tom Hanks time.
No, because everyone I've talked to about that did not thought you guys were just a little too weird.
I will say
it crossed the line.
It crossed the line. Really? Oh man.
Hey, there are no lines. Oh.
At 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah, there are no lines at 3:30 in the morning.
Extra Life stuff was strong.
I really liked the days we were playing Monaco.
I thought Monaco was our peak, actually.
I really cried.
That almost hour video of us playing Monaco was hilarious, and it stands up to repeating.
My personal favorite moment was playing Mutant League Football against Dan and watching the slow collapse into insanity.
I'm not
going to
vote for that.
For Dan.
I'm not going to vote for that.
Patrick Klepek interview.
There we go.
Interviews are good. We get
I like that one.
The Patrick Klepek interview.
Thanks, Dan.
That time that we did a couple of the intros, like right after the podcast.
All of us are doing
that. Yeah, the news
intros.
Radio.
The Morning Zoo.
Yeah, the Morning Zoo. That's one of my favorites.
The Morning Zoo.
The Morning Zoo.
Yeah, I do love Morning Zoo.
That was one of our favorites. That was a really fun one.
I could vote for that.
If I had to get my arm twisted and I had to vote for something, I'd probably be Extra Life. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed reading.
I know you weren't there for a good portion of it, Dan.
Yeah.
Although that's cool when you were joining us for like Rock Band.
It was fun, but I think actually the most fun where we just had just all of us were having fun was the Morning Zoo podcast for me.
Yeah, we were crying.
We were laughing
crying.
Our ass off.
It's still one of my favorite.
I remember when you posted that, like immediately I downloaded it so I could listen to it.
It's in there, guys. I've written it in stone. That works for me.
Morning Zoo?
Morning Zoo.
Oh, what, Kevin?
Although I have to vote Extra Life. I'm good with it winning.
We had a lot of good moments.
It's
this
definitely
year.
We've actually
I was very happy with the Extra Life stuff. Considering how half-assed that was and how well it came together.
Well, it was still half-assed.
But I think that was the beauty of the Morning Zoo thing too, is it was just completely off the cuff and all of us bought into it.
It was also all of us.
Well, you know, you and I have together. Like we know why we wanted to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm good with it winning, but my vote's Extra Life, but I'm fine with...
I'm putting it as the runner-up.
Morning Zoo.
Yeah.
Morning Zoo. All right. So
are we doing Game of the Year?
So we'll go through the awards here.
Yeah, let's just go through the awards and winners.
Most unplayable early access game, The Dead Linger, with a runner-up of Prison Architect. Best multiplayer game, we've got Monaco. Worst trend, microtransactions in full-price games. Runner-up, full price for early access games. Worst game/purchase of the year goes to our good friend Dan Helmick and RPG Maker VX Ace.
I guarantee most people who bought into that are experiencing the same thing as me.
No, they have denial. They're convinced it'll get
it's
better.
Just like,
the most expensive game, Peggle 2, for Kevin purchasing a brand new Xbox One. Thank you, Kevin.
And controller.
PS4,
and two-day shipping.
And that's the only game you have right now.
That's it.
The new story of the year we're going to call Microsoft and Sony console reveals, with the runner-up being LucasArts Closure. That's my personal.
Okay. Sure, whatever.
Phoenix Award goes to Dead Rising. Woo!
Surprisingly.
Yeah. Yeah, like, surprising. Ironic. Like a Phoenix.
And ironic, yeah. Dead Rising, right?
Runner-up
Zelda. Definitely. Yeah, solid runner-up. The Throwback Award goes to Hammerwatch. And the runner-up goes, of course, to my personal choice, Resonance. Thank you, gentlemen, for indulging me. The First Impression Award.
I just felt so strongly about it.
It was very, very good.
And it was, I mean, of the throwbacks, it's a really big throwback.
Yeah.
Samurai Gun wins the First Impression Award. And finally, our moment of the year is going to be the Morning Zoo. Kevin?
Morning Zoo.
All right. So we're going to take a break. We'll come back and we will delve into our 40-game list of games of the year. Cuts will be made, arguments will be had, but it will all be for the betterment of society.
Yes.
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 Hey, coming up after a break is going to be the top 10 games a year as we see them as Infinite Lives, and there's going to be plenty of fighting, plenty of bickering, some good debates, some good points made, some passionate, emotional, insane points made, and there'll even be another one little award in the middle of all of this for best handheld game a year, so stay tuned and enjoy our misery for your entertainment.
Welcome back.
Are we starting?
Yep.
Okay. Welcome.
Now we're starting. Yeah.
Welcome back to the most exciting, demystifying, electric...
Wait, what?
Infinite Lives Game of the Year podcast.
Friendships will be ended. Lives will be lost.
People might be indifferent.
I'm already indifferent.
This is part two, so we are going to... look at our games of the year.
Games of the year.
Games of the year. And
shut
so
up.
We have a list
fuck
of
you.
Over 40 games?
40.
40 exact games. 10 from everybody. And we're going to whittle
them down. I was told there would be no math.
I don't know.
We are going to whittle them down to a top 10.
Let me see this.
Yep.
An unranked top 10.
Dude, you've got an Android phone. You can totally access this. Your Android phone. The thing that's attached to your hip. How's it feel?
We're going to... It feels great.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Okay, we're going to whittle them down to a top 10. Unranked
Morning
games. Unranked top 10. So we got a whole bunch of games right now. So
starting from
middle. Why don't we just list all of the games? Let's not list all the games. Okay, I'm gonna do the first.
Do you want to go round robin and make cuts?
Well, we'll just kind of play it as it.
Okay.
See how it goes.
All right.
Play it as it lies.
I'm gonna make the first cut.
All right.
I like Payday 2. I like it a lot. I played almost 70 hours of it. But it is not a top 10 game of the year. It is not close.
Done.
It could have been, but it's not.
I'm going to make a cut.
All right.
Tokyo Jungle. We enjoyed the hell out of it. It was a novel game, but game of the year material, it is not.
Yeah, it was a very novel game. It was very fun. But okay, I will agree with Tokyo Jungle. Man, we are flying by. We got two down.
Fuck
two
you.
Down.
That game ain't going nowhere.
Oh, okay.
I'm just kidding.
Oh.
Okay,
I was going to listen if you were going to.
I wasn't going to listen.
No.
Okay, an epic. Yep. A lot of fun, but it grew old.
Yeah.
Wish I played it on Steam as opposed to weird whatever version I got. I forget.
Good old game.
Good old game.
Good old game.
John Cut?
When Epic is gone.
When Epic is gone. Yeah, that was a fun game.
But not forgotten.
Are we still cutting?
Yes, oh yeah.
Yeah, we're good. We got to
shoot
cut.
Many robots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of fun for a couple weeks. Game of the year, not even close.
I like playing.
Great multiplayer game, yeah. But.
Didn't yeah. even make our multiplayer game of the year, so.
Well, right. It was runner-up to all the runner-ups.
Yeah. Okay.
For that reason, we must also axe Gianna Sisters.
Yeah.
Only Kevin enjoyed it, and maybe only partly because he enjoyed the original.
Original's not bad, just weird.
I'm not saying it's a terrible-looking game. It looked good. It just looked like a platforming game that was good.
Yeah, it's a real solid platformer.
Exceptional? Maybe not.
Yeah, maybe top 25, top 30.
Yeah.
That's where I would put Payday 2, top 30.
There are a lot of unkind cuts here.
As much as I really like the game, nobody else played it, so I'm going to cut Journey.
Hey, I really? Played it.
Okay.
You want to cut Journey?
Yeah. But
isn't that last year's game?
No, I played that this
John
year.
John did we this year. I did it last year.
Okay. Yeah.
And okay. Yeah,
okay, you remember my reaction to it. That game is fantastic.
It's something special.
It is something special.
Yeah. Well, it'll more cut just because it's an older game.
Sure. Let's see. Dan, you don't even really play this game anymore. Arma 3.
Yeah, I'm okay with cutting Arma 3 because...
it was a big hitter last
it's
year.
It's more... So. No, Arma 3 came out this year.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
thinking Arma 2.
Arma 3, right? Yeah. I think it completely came out like August or September. Okay. It's more of a platform to play a lot
other
of like
stuff.
Crazy stuff. Sure. And the actual game itself, while upgraded, but, you know, like the single player campaign is okay.
It's a utility for mods.
Yeah, it's one of those that I'll probably be playing for a while, but yes, I'm okay with cutting Arma 3.
I have no idea what this game is. I think Kevin talked about it, but the Knit Underground?
Yeah.
What's Knit Underground?
So it's a good indie Metroidvania type of thing. Really cool ideas, but...
I honestly have no knowledge of it.
I think he talked about it in a previous podcast.
Okay.
But I don't remember.
Right, yeah, it's a good exploration game, but the very end, the third part, final part, it has you collect a billion of these little random items.
Ooh,
and it
that's not good.
It's kind of like going through Metroid Prime where you have to do the... What was it? The monoliths at the very end?
I didn't finish any of those. Okay. So.
It became a fetch quest.
That's
you got
fun.
One helmet?
All right. Here's the thing. We've been cutting a lot of skin and a lot of fat. It's time we got to cut a little of the meat. Because our numbers still
I got rid of Journey like right off the bat.
I got to cut Towerfall.
Okay.
Yeah.
As good a game as it is, I feel like its best days are actually ahead of it.
Yes. Yes, that PS4 version that you were telling me about, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah, it may be
and,
to
you know,
2014 game.
So I believe it'll be a strong contender next year.
Yeah, and on some really like, you know,
but we can't qualify
responsive controllers.
Yeah,
that game's going to be that's
going to
that game's going to be fun.
I have found that the game is best played with PS3 controllers on the Ouya.
I had one that I was going to cut but now I forgot.
Ratchet and Clank.
Okay.
It's a lot of fun, but it feels like a rhythm game in the sense that Ratchet & Clank, its time is done. Just like how Rock Band, its time is done.
By that token, we must also banish Skyrim Dragonborn.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. It is a DLC, and I'm not going to consider that top 10.
Much as I am loath to do so, I must also pull Final Fantasy XIV from the running. I'm the only one here who's enjoyed it. And I don't enjoy it as much as I should.
Well, you know, if one of us is the only one who's played a game,
no,
it can
still
be top 10.
Yep.
I certainly agree.
But if
although
you don't
want
to go to bat for Final Fantasy
I am not
Fantasy
going
7,
to bat for Final Fantasy IV.
Gotcha. There are other battles you wish to fight.
I feel like that's like how I feel about Payday 2, where I really enjoyed my time with it. But
for that same reason, I withdraw DuckTales Remastered.
Really? I thought... Oh, I was expecting a
good
little bit
yes.
of a fight for
top
that.
10, no.
Mm, okay.
He's viewing this very objectively. I get that. I definitely see that.
A very good game and a solid addition to any library, particularly if you enjoy the original. But a top 10 game of the year, no.
Labyrinthine Dreams.
What is that?
It's a puzzle game essentially, it's more about the story, kind of like To the Moon. You know, it's about sort of a good emotional sort of psychological type of story. Mm-hmm. But, oh no, it's short.
Okay.
It's a little too brief.
This one was on, I think, both Kevin's and mine's lists. Ni No Kuni. It's a good game. But it didn't do anything, I don't know, at least in my opinion. It lost steam, really, with me. I wanted to finish it, but the combat in that was interesting, but it was a little, I don't know, I didn't like the way the combat played out after you got to a certain point.
Top 10 just, is a sharp cut.
It seemed like you kept getting your ass kicked, like, really easily when you would get to a certain point in that game. And then you would have to go back and grind on some really easy enemies, which wasn't that great.
I'll let it slide just because of the grind issue.
Yeah. That's, like I said, the story, everything else about that game, the animation style, all of that, amazing.
Cut out the game part, turn it into a Studio Ghibli movie.
Yeah. Watch that many times.
That's movie of the year right there. Yep.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, that's why I'm cutting it. Because
it's tied for number 11.
That seems like a good top 15. You know, 14,
definitely.
14
oh, yeah.
through 11.
Everything that's cut, it's tied for 11.
I'm gonna cut a game very close to my heart. I'm cutting Project Zomboid.
You love that game.
I love that game, but it feel like.
Would you say it's still unfinished? It's a really good proof of concept.
I feel like the features that they're thinking of doing is going to make that game outstanding, but as it is right now, and I put it on my list because they pretty much released it. You know, it's early access, but it's pretty much released. I feel like it's not executing on everything, mm-hmm. and just the actual, like, getting that game to run is like a fucking feat in itself sometimes.
Ooh.
So it's just, it feels like there's so many barriers of entry to play that game. That I am okay with leaving that out of the top 10. All
right, guys, there's other battles I want to fight. I'm going to give this one. I'm putting this up sacrificially. I know it's a really good game. I enjoyed it quite a bit, but
Beyond Two Souls?
No.
Oh,
Assassin's Creed 4.
Oh, whoa! Really? Are you sure?
Yeah, not one of my.
You know what's funny?
There are other games on this list that I will fight for tooth and nail.
I'm
more.
Actually going to fight you on that one.
Oh, you didn't play it.
I know, but I have to say that. Compared to a lot of the other games on this list, I enjoyed watching you play Assassin's Creed 4 more than some of the other ones you've nominated here.
I was telling John last weekend that I'm tempted to buy it just from watching.
Don't buy it.
Why don't we put?
Don't buy it.
Why don't we put Assassin's Creed 4 in a lockbox and then we'll open it up later?
Okay. Box.
In case there are a couple like.
Fine.
Games that we're not sure, but that was surprising.
Here, I will cut one then. That instead of that, I will cut another one, the one right after that.
We're the ones
that
talking
I was
John
of.
Into keeping Assassin's Creed 4.
It looked like a good game.
Nobody else played this. I think nobody even really saw me play this, maybe briefly, is I'm going to get rid of Brothers because you guys, I mean.
I played it a little bit.
That looked like an inventive game, but I wouldn't say it was
top 10. It wasn't even the gameplay that really made that game for me.
Story,
it was the story that made that for me.
Okay.
So it's another case of like Ni No Kuni
exactly.
and Labyrinthine Dreams.
Okay, I'm going to pull a couple more of my nominations. I'm pulling Dynasty Warriors 8 because even though it was a great game and a reinvention for the genre, it's not so new and original that it deserves special recognition.
Okay.
And Game Dev Tycoon, although a solid game development simulator, was kind of a simple affair.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of fun with a great bunch of replay value, but not top 10 material.
Okay.
Starbound. It's not ready for prime time.
It's not ready.
It wasn't on my list at all because I hadn't played it. So.
It shouldn't have been on there. I think
super
I,
excited.
I think I set
no,
that
I,
in
you
accident.
Were more than welcome to put that on there.
No, I think I said I didn't mean to put it on there.
Okay.
But yeah, Starbound.
Next year.
Starbound.
It has a
Starbound could be really good next year. It is not. Yeah.
So how many we got left
right now? Yeah. What are we at? We've been cutting.
We've still
cutting
got about
fools.
20.
We've been cutting fools. We got about 20.
22.
We got about 22.
So we made 18 cuts so far, gentlemen. This is where things start to get interesting.
How about the Swapper? Can we cut
the
Swapper?
Kevin's
going to
fight us with that.
Oh,
we're going to fight Swapper.
That game, take a Metroidvania exploration, give it Portal type of puzzle thoughts.
Okay, we can come back.
It is fucking amazing.
How about Papers, Please? You said that although it was a really interesting game, there's not a lot in the back end.
Not so much a game as more of an experience for it, Dan, would you say?
Top 10, Dan. Come on, let's be brutal here. Can you honestly say it's top 10?
Okay. It's fine.
I do want to play through that a bit more, but I kind of saw everything I needed to see in that 1 hour that you played of it.
That's exactly why. It's you kind of see everything.
Here's where we're going to get combative. Beyond Two Souls.
Fuck you.
I'm not going to take it because I still maintain that those Fahrenheit and Heavy Rain and now Beyond Two Souls games, they don't feel like games to me.
Beyond Two Souls is more of a game than any of the other two. It's an actual game as opposed to Heavy Rain, which is just you pressing a bunch of buttons.
I found it completely uninteresting to me. I didn't even want to sit down and watch it for more than like the 5 minutes when I was making something in the kitchen. And I've sat down and watched you play a lot of games this year, my friend.
I actually have to lean in with Helmick on this.
I hate you guys so much. That game is fantastic. The storytelling alone.
You knew it was going to hurt, and not all of yours were going to make it to the top 10.
I'd cut Bioshock Infinite before I'd cut Beyond Two Souls. I had a better resonance. I've had a longer lasting emotional impact for that game than I did from anything that happened in Bioshock Infinite.
That may just be because you're a flawed human.
Okay.
Because Bioshock Infinite was...
Because you're a bad
had,
man.
Had expansive storytelling the likes of which I hadn't seen yet in a video game. And that's including games that really meant something to me. So, I don't know. What do you think, Dan?
Dan.
I feel like I should have played Beyond Two Souls and I could have had a better opinion about it. But I will not cut Bioshock Infinite and leave Beyond Two Souls. If it comes down to those two.
All right. Well, let's put those aside for right now.
Contrast.
Yeah.
Didn't play it, so yeah.
It's a lot of fun. It's really good, but it is so glitchy that...
All right, it's out.
Those glitches just... Oh, no. You have to be stupid like me.
Fez here?
Because
that was for me
year.
This year.
Oh, okay.
Overruled.
It's fine. I can say eliminate it, but because I've already
gave
it one. Yeah, exactly. It's on. We know it's a good game, and then next year it's going to come up on Dan's list too because he'll play it and figure out the same thing.
All right, I'm going to pull out one that was an impressive game in every way, but I don't feel like it really hit anything new, which is going to be Dead Rising 3.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I could agree. I mean, watching
game.
It looked like a fun game, but it didn't look like...
It's a number 11.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tied for number 11.
I was going to pull one right now.
Go ahead.
Fire Emblem, Dan? Mm-hmm. You and I are the only ones who played that. Yeah, top 10?
That game looked really fun.
Have you finished it?
Mm-mm. But
I got really deep into that game. I don't think it's any different than any of the other Fire Emblem games.
What are the other games we have on right now?
Let's
see. That is not Fire Emblem.
Let's see. I'm trying to think of another cut I would make.
What's the games that are on the list?
We've got The Last of Us, Assassin's Creed 4, Beyond Two Souls, Bioshock Infinite, Shadowrun Returns, Saints Row 4, Gunpoint, GTA 5, Zelda: The Link Between Worlds, Path of Exile, Rogue Legacy, Monaco, Fire Emblem, The Swapper, Guacamelee, Marvel Puzzle Quest, Peggle 2.
I would take Guacamelee off before I would consider.
It's a very cool game.
Whatchamacall. What game are we talking about?
Guacamelee. There's a lot of good art. The art style in that game carries quite a bit. I don't know, Kevin.
All right.
The one who put that on your list. So,
well, I think you played last year, this year.
It was this year as well. It's good. It's really solid. But there's some portions of that game that, like...
I think in order to give you the Swapper, we have to take off Guacamelee.
All right, I'll take that cut if the Swapper is going to remain.
All right, I'm going to make...
For now!
I'm going to make a cut that hurts me more than you guys can possibly
do. Path of Exile.
I'm taking a cut right now that hurts me in a very tender place. I'm withdrawing Shadowrun Returns from top.
I'll fight for that one.
Ooh, no, I honestly think think the Berlin expansion next year is going to make it a top 10 game next year. Because it felt like this year was more proof of concept than a cohesive top 10 game.
I will buy that. I loved my time with Shadowrun Returns. I feel like
there's a game in there.
I feel like it should be much better than it is because, I mean, if we talk about...
But would you say you would cut that before you would cut Marvel Puzzle Quest?
Yes. I'll tell you why. Because Marvel Puzzle Quest among mobile...
Look, I don't understand Marvel Puzzle
that
Quest.
Game
among
is
mobile
fucking
games,
amazing.
It was easily my favorite of the year, if not the last couple years. So in its category, I felt like it was on the pinnacle.
Yeah. Well, Marvel Puzzle Quest is
I mean, if
amazing.
We're talking about...
Yeah, I'll
like,
fight for that one.
If we're talking about well-made games, I mean, Shadowrun Returns, there's a lot of problems in there.
The thing with
the
Returns,
game that they gave us.
I mean,
the decking was not fully realized in the single-player campaign because there's not too many opportunities there.
Okay, maybe what we should talk about is the actual single-player campaign game name.
Yeah.
The single-player campaign is a solid story and a good introduction to the game, but it feels like they hadn't realized the capacity, the potential that they're able to create with their own creator.
Yeah.
I think this Berlin expansion is going to be a real make-or-break thing for next year, and it sounds like they've got a much better handle on what they're capable of making with it. I want to see where that goes.
Like, because it feels like, I mean, even with some of the, like, the side story things or trying to do it in, you know, because in Shadowrun, you can solve a lot of things in multiple ways, and it feels like I didn't really get that.
It's very railroad.
Very railroad.
Yeah.
It seemed like some conversations were very kind of like, oh, here, you can kind of talk about this in a different way, but it doesn't really work.
Right. This might get you more money, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, in fact, that's the dialogue options. Yeah. Do you want more money?
All right, it's gone.
So again, that's a tie for 11.
Gunpoint. I'm going to pull Gunpoint.
I don't know. That game looked really cool.
Yeah, but Dan and I are the only ones Kevin, you played it. Three out of four of us played it. Did everybody beat it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I
wouldn't say it was good.
Before we even cut that. Peggle 2.
You want Peggle 2. Okay, we'll get rid of it.
Good game.
I was gonna...
It's a lot shorter than Peggle 1. And I don't know if it's worth $20.
Here, let me talk about
Gunpoint. Or $520.
Why I like Gunpoint.
I like
Gunpoint. Gunpoint is a very well-made game.
I was the first one who played Gunpoint.
Gunpoint is a very well-made game.
Yes.
All of the levels are interesting and difficult without being extremely difficult.
Mm-hmm. It feels really good.
The stealth was very good. It felt very... It felt like, you know, there was a lot of ideas there that were all kind of realized to its fullest potential.
You had a lot of options for how you handled, you know, getting through a level.
It felt like playing through the levels multiple times was an interesting thing rather than a chore.
The pre-mission conversations were awesome. Yeah.
The storyline was actually pretty funny.
Hilarious.
And pretty good. I would be very sad.
I have a question to ask you guys, and I recognize that I may be in the minority here.
All right.
But I want you to just quietly ruminate to yourself the significance of Saints Row 4 this year.
Significance or fun?
What do you mean by significance?
There's no denying it looked like fun, but considering that it was originally slated to be an extended DLC... Can you really say that it's a...
Doesn't feel like extended DLC.
It was a standalone game that deserves to be in the top 10.
Yeah.
That game is... It's dessert. It's like eating a good cake. It is... Filling is not good for you, but it is satisfying.
If I'm choosing between those two, though...
I would rather have Gunpoint. There, I said it. I would rather have Gunpoint.
You'd rather have 3 hours of Gunpoint than 30 hours of Saints Row 4?
I had a lot more fun playing Gunpoint than I had playing Saints Row 4, and I love Saints Row the Third.
And here's
this is the thing. Saints Row...
Did you putter out on Saints Row? You never did finish, right?
No.
Okay.
I mean...
I'm asking. I was asking that question.
But, like, the thing about Saints Row 4, I felt like I was doing... Let me finish.
Go ahead.
The thing about Saints Row 4, I felt like I was doing the same thing over and over and over.
Okay.
Like each of, I mean, like we said before, they made the side missions kind of fun, and they were more fun than Saints Row the Third side missions and everything. But you kind of did them a lot. Like how many times do you do the thing where you gotta grab the guy with your telekinesis or whatever and then throw them in those what are they, like loops or something? Or
oh, the Genki missions.
Yeah.
Except you don't even have to do those.
No.
No, well, you have to do them sometimes for some of the stories stuff.
No, that's all side missions.
All of
stuff.
That is optional.
Everything in that, all those are optional.
Unlike number three, where they had you do one of each thing, this one is all option.
Yeah.
How many do we have left?
The bet, we're at 14. So I will say the most hysterical moment I had in a year in gaming was in Saints Row 4.
Yeah.
And I'm going to talk about spoilers now, Dan.
Fine. Let them rip.
They reenacted the fight scene from They Live in the end of Saints Row 4.
Okay.
I was crying. That was so damn funny that I wasn't expecting
Rowdy
that.
Rowdy Roddy Piper
actually shows up and starts fighting President Keith David.
Okay.
And they're reenacting the scene from Saints Row 4.
All right, we're down to 14 of 10.
Yes.
So I could see getting rid of Rogue Legacy. Love the game.
I could also see that.
It's not lasting.
It's not top 10.
Dan?
Definitely another 11.
See, it's the same. It's my same feeling with Gunpoint. I mean, I've said before, like, I don't, like, I love story in games by evidence of my nomination for Bioshock Infinite. But, like, I mean, that's a really well-designed game, and it feels really good playing it. Like, you
agreed.
Don't... I mean, the thing with Saints Row 4 that got me was that I felt like all the combat and stuff was just kind of very rote. Like, there was, like, no meaning to it because you just kind of bash through, like, a ton of dudes and there's, like, no... I feel like there's no development of tactics or I'm trying to, like, get better at fighting. Okay. It's just I become so overpowered where driving or... travel or even like getting into a fight just was kind of meaningless. And I know that's kind of the point of the game to be like super overpowered and just to fight and stuff like that. But it made it feel boring. Like all the stuff around it was very fun. And it's fun, like, you know, just getting so ridiculous where you're just flipping around doing the, what is it, the cripple, the
wrestling
insurance
moves?
Fraud stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's fucking hilarious.
I like flying into the sky and doing the nuclear bomb punch into the ground.
I like the fact that it felt like a good old 1980s National Lampoon type of movie where it made fun of so many things so well.
And
Mass Effect romances.
I totally agree. But, like,
hey, Kinsey,
I mean.
You wanna fuck?
When you romance Keith David, and he's no.
It would just get weird.
No, I like romancing the robot.
Yeah. I have many attachments for your pleasure.
Romancing Julius when you ask him shyly, and then you hand him his book and say, can you sign this?
Yeah, I mean, like, how I'm explaining it is, like, I mean, with Gunpoint, you're developing your skills over the course of the game, and you're much better at the game at the end of the game than you are at the start of the game. Same thing with Rogue Legacy. You know, you spend some hours in that and you become very, like, in the beginning, you're terrible at that game. And you become very, very good.
That was a game that really encouraged my Twitch power.
Yeah, you become very good at that game. But, like, Saints Row 4, while being funny, like, it's the same game from maybe, what, a couple hours in once you get the superpowers. And, yeah, you get more superpowers, but... You don't actually need half of that stuff to fight most of the guys in that game.
All right.
That's my explanation for
maybe
that.
Maybe what might be a good idea here is to take a step back and figure out the games we want to lock into the top 10. Because I think there's some here that none of us would pull out. I don't think there would be any argument for Zelda, for instance. GTA 5.
Is the top 10? What would you
dude,
what
for
would
like
I fight four more over GTA 5? Lots
for like,
of things.
For like six, but I think all of us can agree that GTA 5 has a place there. Because GTA 5 was a game for like six glorious weeks. It was all
good.
The three of us could talk.
Yeah.
Actually, all four of us could talk about.
It was good. I was hoping for more.
Dan almost bought a PS3 or a
360
for it.
I think Zelda, everyone can agree, is a winner.
Yeah.
Even though I haven't played it, you guys have experienced it in such a way that I know it's a quality game.
Well, like, I mean, the thing is like, if I had to pick between Saints Row 4 or GTA 5, it would be GTA 5 in in every kind of sense.
Well, I'm same there, like, but
there's yeah.
I don't know if I'd say kick it out the
yeah,
top.
But John's saying that GTA 5 is not in the top 10. I'm just saying if
GTA 5
if GTA 5 isn't in the top 10, then Saints Row 4 isn't close to being in the top 10 in that case. Because I mean, by any definition, I believe that GTA 5 is better than Saints Row 4.
That's fine.
Like, I mean, story wise. And even, I mean, yeah, it doesn't have as many ridiculous moments as Saints Row 4, but there are a lot of really funny moments. The production value is extremely good. The soundtrack is, I think, better.
I had more fun in listening to the Saints Row 4 soundtrack.
Yeah. Because it was way more 80s centric. Yeah. Mm.
Okay, well, the world.
I'm not saying.
Yeah, okay, dude, you don't have to. We are arguing here. You don't have to. You don't have to be like defensive that I'm like upset about.
I think
I'm not upset.
One
about
thing
stuff.
You're forgetting on GTA 5 that did so well, it was better than those consoles could run.
Well, okay,
yeah, those were very impressive technology.
I mean, the world itself. I mean, GTA 5 wins hands down. Like the world, the game world. Yeah. I mean,
it's partly because the travel powers of Saints Row made the world like small.
Well, even not just by the largeness of it. I mean, Steelport is not an interesting place. It wasn't interesting in Saints Row the Third, and it's not interesting. Like, do you even remember like certain neighborhoods in Steelport? Like, I mean, if I dropped you in the middle of Steelport, you wouldn't know where you are unless you're looking at the map. I mean, outside of like a huge landmark, but most of GTA 5, you can kind of remember probably where you are if you're in the Chinatown, Koreatown.
You've got a point, especially when you start playing the GTA 5 online.
Yeah,
you're like, where's the best place for me to pick up hose right now? Which is the best ammunition for me to get to right now? Even though that one's geographically closer. You know, all the other guys. Yeah, I'm with you.
Those two are already in there. They're blocked. I'm more than happy to put those down as confirmed.
What else are we locking?
Path of
I already
Exile.
Put in Zelda and GTA 5.
Path of Exile, I think, should be locked. I didn't play it this year, but I played the beta last year.
But it's been in that state since before,
but it released.
All through last year.
It released
this year.
Okay.
It's out of beta. And they added like a whole other act from when we played.
These are the questions I need to ask.
I will say this is the reason why Path of Exile should be in the top 10. Maybe not number one, although that probably would
There's no numbers.
Yeah, there's no number. Path of Exile should be number one just because it did everything.
Should be in the top 10.
Should be in the top 10.
Stop your subtle bullshit like, oh, it's going to be
Dan,
number
you're
one.
You're being just a politician.
By, yeah.
Okay, I'm just saying. I'm not saying it's number
nah,
one.
Nah, son.
This is why it should be number one.
Okay.
Path of Exile, it should be in the top 10 because.
Should be in the top 10 because unlike Torchlight 2 and Diablo 3, you could play that game a million times and never have the same experience twice. Okay. Because you can make any character with any kind of class doing anything that you want. It is completely customizable. No, I mean, every time I play in a random party, there is somebody that is doing something that is completely ridiculous, and I have no idea how they're doing that. In Diablo 3, it didn't matter what level I was, it was the same demon hunter that I was the same demon hunter of, and Torchlight 2 was just boring.
It's pretty brilliant considering that the entire like concept is very simple, which is like, all right, envision an ARPG, we rip off stuff from Final Fantasy 7, and then stuff from Final Fantasy 10, go!
Yeah, and the fact that it makes trash loot viable and interesting. That whole commerce system is amazing. There's no other MMO or action RPG that makes trash loot, white loot, like actually like important. And that's the only one that white loot.
Because no money.
Well, no, because of the gems, I mean the slots and the linkage.
Right.
If you find something that's really crappy but it's got good linkage and good things, you're like, well, I'm going to keep
crap,
this forever.
I've wear the shabby jerkin forever now.
I have to get an orb. Okay. I won't talk about Path of Exile.
You're fine.
Dude, you're You converted me. That
I can wax philosophical about The Last of Us for a long ass time, and I'm the only one who's played that
I'm
game.
Fine with Last of
We're
Us
gonna
being
give you
locked
the Last
in
of
the
Us
top
without,
10.
Without
I am,
any
I am not good. Yeah, I am
I
not going
thinking.
To
I've watched enough of that game. I've seen you play it. I've seen other people play it.
You watched the 20. You watched the intro. That alone was like
Incredible game. Yeah, by reputation alone, I would not.
And here's where we're gonna get into another sticky clash. I did not feel that way about Beyond Two Souls. Not even a little bit.
I would cut Assassin's Creed before I'd cut Beyond Two Souls. And I'm the only one who played that. So I think that ultimately comes down to it.
That is a very strong argument. Are you sure?
Yes.
You would rather play Beyond Two Souls again rather than playing Assassin's Creed?
Yeah, because
4?
I can actually have a different ending at that in that story if I played it through Beyond Two Souls again.
I could see where you're coming from a little bit, especially last weekend watching you play. I wanted to play. I wanted to buy. But at the same time, there's some points where your guy I want you to stab this guy. No, don't jump on top
that's
of
a
crate.
And that's a caveat with the Assassin's Creed games you get.
Yeah,
like,
I will say the combat seems always...
Pick up the corpse. No, not the sword, the corpse.
See, that's one of my biggest problems with
that
game. It's a great game. It was good. It was very good this year, but I would not want to play that game again.
Okay, let's take out Assassin's Creed 4. Out of the lockbox and make it walk the plank.
Oh yeah! It lives in Davy Jones's locker.
Yeah, make him kiss the gunner's daughter. Keel haul him.
What are we at now, John?
11?
13.
13.
What?
We have
14.
Four locked. We have four locked.
We're like 14
and
a minute ago.
We have four locked and we have 9 that we have to in the...
Read them.
Fine.
Okay, the one...
Rogue Legacy. I'm going to go back to Rogue Legacy because for everything that praised on Path of Exile, mm-hmm. Rogue Legacy is the same type of game. You have all those combinations and you have those different classes, but they're random in this case.
I'm with it.
So it's still a good game, but I wouldn't say it's above Path of Exile or some of these other games that are on the list. It's good.
Let it go, Dan.
Solid.
Let your descendants handle it.
I didn't play it.
I beat the four main bosses. I actually didn't feel any interest in beating the final boss.
So are we really keeping the swapper? Are we keeping the swapper?
You need to fucking play that game.
He's passionate about it. I saw it at
why
PAX. Your case for the swapper.
Why is the swapper a better Metroidvania
than Rogue Legacy or Unepic or
Rogue Legacy's not
Rogue
really
Legacy is procedurally generated.
It's more of a It has Metroidvania-esque stuff, I guess, because you're going to certain places. But it's not
and you're ish. Upgrading your character.
But why is that? Why is that a better game than Unepic, which is the other Metroidvania game?
Coke and Pepsi are the same.
Well, on one hand, Unepic moved sluggish.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember how slow you moved?
Yes.
Your weapon attack? This one isn't a combat one. So Unepic, was all about the fighting. You know, mm-hmm. you go through, you kill bosses. Swapper is like Portal, where, Portal's a first-person shooter, but it's not about, killing the bad guys. It's about solving puzzles that really just twist your logic. Mm-hmm. And Swapper, essentially, you're a guy who has a gun, the Swapper gun. You could create clones of yourself, and you could swap into them mentally. So as you go through, it's one of those games with the rules of you walk right, your clone walks right. You walk left, they go left. There's two colors of light. One color of light, if it's shining across your path, you can't make a clone. Another color, you can't do the swapping. The game is spooky as shit. The atmosphere, it's pretty much abandoned space station type of thing. Mm-hmm. And despite not having a story... At the very end, all of a sudden, it creates this giant story, like, out of nothing that just haunts you. Essentially, if you like something like Portal, and not just for, GLaDOS, but for, that type of gameplay, Swapper is more of the same in the sense that it's really mind-bending, but at the same time, it's not Portal. It's, you're not doing something any other game has thrown at you. It's a fresh puzzle, fresh twisted environment, flat out insane story when they finally spring it on you.
And it's creepy as hell. The atmosphere is, for not having, like, you know, aliens running around or anything like that, it is oppressively, like, spooky. Very suspenseful.
I'm never going to play it.
Why not?
Why should I?
If it was gifted to you, would you play it?
No.
Okay.
Why wouldn't you, though?
Because I'm not into that kind of game.
You don't like, what, puzzles or...
Yeah.
That's why he doesn't play Fez either. It makes sense. Makes sense.
All right, fine.
Oh, I'm sorry, Kevin. I'll relent. Your face is twitching right now. I swear it's nothing personal.
No, I know. Like I said, I said the same thing. I'm like, this game is awesome. Fez is amazing. Dan's like, I got no desire to play it.
See, John, it looks good. I think Swapper is the game for you.
I'll probably play it at some point.
I was not a big Portal guy either, so.
I like the first Portal. That, never finished Portal sense. 2, so.
Fine, I'll take out Rogue Legacy.
So what do we got left?
Cut is the deepest.
Yeah, this is the deep cut.
Beyond Two Souls, Bioshock Infinite, Saints Row 4,
cuts,
Gunpoint,
gentlemen.
Monaco, Fire Emblem, Swapper, Marvel Puzzle Quest.
Is that really 12?
Yeah.
Well, we have
four
the locked ones.
And then 8 unlocked.
What are the 4 locked?
Zelda, GTA 5, Path of Exile, Last of Us. I'm gonna give Kevin the Swapper because nobody else has an argument against it. I don't. I can't because I haven't played it.
I hate to say it. I'm not going to say this is one we should cut for sure, but one to think about. Monaco, if you don't have 4 people, do you want to play it?
Nope.
No, you don't.
Not at all.
Because I have.
I played 1 player, hated the fuck
out of
that. I
also played with random people and is not fun.
You need 4 people.
Here's
side
the other thing.
Side.
Here's the other thing I will say about that, guys. We have already given it our multiplayer best multiplayer game award. So
yeah,
I think sacrificing it.
When
I
thought,
man, I really liked our experiences of Monaco.
I did too.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't really like good. The not our experience.
Yeah. Any,
my experience
aside from
are
us,
horrible.
Playing it together, there, I have no desire to pick up that
cut game. It! Cut it! So let me close my eyes while you cut it!
I don't like it. I don't like it.
Dan's gone. Shoulder just cried into
no,
it.
I would, no, no, no!
Gone.
No.
Done.
No.
Fight
no,
for it.
No, I did not agree
fight for
to
it.
This.
What do you got?
Fuck, I'll sacrifice Gunpoint for fucking Monaco right now.
Really?
Yeah. That was, I mean, when we were playing, that was really fun.
It was.
That's part really of the fun. Reason I thought of the multiplayer award is
that's
I knew Monaco isn't top 10,
yeah.
But it is fucking amazing.
It is really good. It is a very specific game. You need to have 4 people. They need to be in the same room together, and you need to be speaking in ridiculous French accents.
What's
the spoon?
Wait, what's our 12 that's not locked? What's our 12 that's not locked?
Okay, one second.
Okay, what we have that isn't locked.
Okay.
Beyond Two Souls.
Okay, wait. We'll just go through this real quick.
Why are we going to start off with that one?
No,
it's on top of the list.
Okay. I know, I'm just giving you a hard time. Don't worry.
You should have put it at the bottom.
So this is, I'm speaking for myself.
Oh,
right?
Let's go alphabetical. Beyond Two Souls.
Okay, I'm speaking for myself, and people can agree or disagree. I would rather play Monaco than Beyond Two Souls. Next. What's the next one?
Nope.
Agreed.
Agreed.
What's we already next? Gave you The Last of Us. It feels like you're getting...
Give me The Last of Us.
It feels like
you didn't give me shit. That game is fantastic.
It feels like you're getting 2 that you've played only and none of us have.
Let's go through
and
the
I
list.
Have none.
Let's go through the list.
Bioshock Infinite.
I'd rather play Bioshock Infinite than Monaco.
I didn't play it. In fact, I called it on my solo cast best game I bought that I didn't play.
I would also rather play Bioshock Infinite than Monaco.
What's the next one?
Saints Row 4.
I would rather play Monaco than Saints Row 4.
I'd rather play Saints Row 4 than Monaco.
I'd rather play Saints Row 4 than Monaco.
I actually have no interest in playing Saints Row 4 ever.
Okay, next one.
Gunpoint.
I'd rather play Monaco than Gunpoint.
I beat Gunpoint, so I'd rather play Monaco than Gunpoint. There's no need to replay Gunpoint.
But, oh no, that doesn't discount it, though.
No. Those 3 hours that I played in Gunpoint were fantastic.
Yeah.
But Monaco is a game I could see myself going back to.
I'd rather play Gunpoint than Monaco unless it's with you 3.
This is true.
Yeah, but also, I mean, the inverse is true. If we were all four,
I would rather play any of these games except for Marvel Puzzle Quest above Marvel Puzzle Quest.
If we're all here together,
and I'm sorry, that's a time killer. It's not a new or revolutionary thing that came out this year. It's a puzzle quest game with Marvel characters attached.
Allow me to make a proposal.
Let's figure out Monaco.
No. Okay. Hang on a second.
Babies.
No, I got one. I got a proposal. It's a very easy proposal. We cut Marvel Puzzle Quest, and we acknowledge that it's probably the
best mobile phone game
of the year.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. I didn't play any other mobile phone games this year that I wanted to play.
I played a bunch, and it was easily my favorite.
Knights of Pen and Paper.
Yeah.
Pandemic.
Epidemic, though.
Or Epidemic. Was it Epidemic?
Yeah. Plague Inc. Plague Inc.
Fuck, we don't even know that.
We got it eventually.
Best mobile game.
That's a great game.
I'll add that in as the awards, guys. Here we go. I'm doing it right now.
Okay. Best mobile game that we don't remember
Best
what the title
mobile
is. Plague Inc.
Game goes to Marvel Puzzle Quest with the runner-up being
Plague Inc. All right. We recognized it.
I still want to clarify my thoughts about Monaco. So where are we at? We just Bioshock Infinite, Saints Row 4,
Gunpoint, Fire Emblem, Beyond Two Souls.
Okay, wait. It's Fire Emblem.
Are you gonna go back and finish Fire Emblem, Dan?
No.
You are?
I'm like 17 hours in.
Me too.
Now, would I rather play Monaco with four players, or would I rather play Fire Emblem by myself? That is the question that I'm asking myself.
See, my one problem with Monaco is it's hard to get us four playing.
That's fine. I mean,
it's because you're a bunch of pussies.
I'm gonna take that. I'll take that out of the consideration because Monaco is a
best multiplayer of the year.
Yeah.
So are we cutting Monaco? I'm fine with that.
Whatever. I'm bowing out of this top 10. I'm very underrepresented here.
Fight for your games.
Nope. Take them. Put Beyond Two Souls in the top 10. I honestly have zero interest in ever seeing or hearing from that game again.
And I have zero interest in playing a lot of these games as well.
With Helmick where I'd rather have Monaco than Beyond Two Souls.
That's because you're a fool, man.
Just like you don't like Fez, I have no desire to play a Diablo-style game.
I didn't say I didn't
game.
Like Fez, and I can...
I didn't say you didn't like it. I said you have no desire to play it.
But I can appreciate the artistry in Fez, and in Beyond Two Souls, it just looks like more Heavy Rain to me.
Just because it looks like something doesn't mean it's a different game.
It was made by the
game.
Same studio. Yeah, it looks like a very similar gaming sensibility. I mean,
well, now you're just calling games similar to other games, and I could do that with any number. Path of Exile looks like Diablo 3.
I didn't play Diablo 3.
It looks like any of those point and click games where you're running around trying to get loot. How many of those have you played? Lots.
Well, how is Beyond Two Souls different than Heavy Rain?
It's a better story. Like the actual emotional, I actually felt the connection to that game more so than I did Heavy Rain.
But again, this isn't a game that any of us have played.
I understand.
Or even read
that.
Much about or heard from other people.
You've heard about it from me?
Well, keep talking about what's different from Heavy Rain.
Just
why
like,
is it a
the actual
game
characters are much better represented. Like everybody in that game, actually, you get a sense that they're actually real characters that could be living in the world.
With better voice acting.
The voice acting is ages above Beyond Heavy Rain. Nobody has a weird Canadian accent or French Canadian accent mingled in with their English. I think Ellen Page and Willem Dafoe make that game alone just based on their two performances throughout that entire game.
I did like that submarine mission you went on.
Yeah. I wish you guys would play this game so that you could formulate it and see if you felt as passionate as I do.
If I was going to play a cinematic PS3 game, though, I'd rather play The Last of Us.
That's fine. That's above Beyond Two Souls for me. That is definitely one I would
consider
better.
And they definitely feel like there's some overlap there.
Actually, though, I was more frustrated with the gameplay in The Last of Us than I was in Beyond Two Souls.
Yeah, because that looked like gameplay. The Beyond Two Souls still looked like a lot of the QuickTime stuff.
Yeah, but I could get through that without a problem. The QuickTime stuff is easy to get through.
And yeah, but I can get through a lot of dancing games or Bust a Groove without a problem. That doesn't make it a better gaming experience than.
Well, it's also the stuff around it.
Yeah.
The story and the characters. And I did like the story and characters.
And I actually thought that the actual story that they picked for this character, for Ellen Page and Willem Dafoe, was something I hadn't seen before. I mean, yeah, you have a lot of paranormal stuff. But the way that they dealt with what the paranormal stuff was much different than stuff I had seen elsewhere.
I mean, we are grading Beyond Two Souls strictly on the story and the performances of the characters in the story.
And the emotional connection I had with that game.
The actual game is not a good game. I mean, the actual playing parts.
It's a playable game. It's not a revolutionary playable game,
but so is, I mean, you know.
Ni No Kuni was a playable game, but a beautiful story.
But The Last of Us and Bioshock Infinite, for most of us here, also seem like emotionally resonant, story-based games. I'm just not sure that Beyond Two Souls belongs in the top 10 along those other two.
Well, I'm okay with Gunpoint. I fought for Gunpoint as much as I think I'll fight for Gunpoint. I think Gunpoint is very good. It's also very short. There's not enough puzzles. Maybe it doesn't do.
Well, you guys can pick. I feel like I'm done talking for a while. Not because I'm frustrated, but because my voice is about to kill.
I get you. No, we don't.
Just keep talking
until it turns to the morning zoo.
Well, we got two more to make the top 10.
Will or Ned.
One more? Yeah, we can cut Gunpoint.
No, sorry. Yeah, one more.
Yeah, we can cut Gunpoint.
Gunpoint over Monaco.
Yeah, I'd rather play Monaco. I mean, if in both of their ideal settings, Gunpoint, you know, by itself.
Yeah, or I just cut Fire Emblem. Fuck it. I mean, Fire Emblem's great, but they're all great, and... And like I said, it might as well tie for 11 because it's really good. But is it great?
It's really good.
Did it bring you something new that you'd never seen before?
No. Like I said, this is Dan's first Fire Emblem game.
You're right. No, but he's right.
No, he is. And here's what I was about to say is that the differences they made in that game are very subtle. Like the actual changes, because I've played a lot of Fire Emblem games.
You're right. If I was thinking about the innovative part of it, Fire Emblem is another tactical RPG, whereas Gunpoint seems like they're doing a lot of different things.
Yeah, and when Gunpoint came out, you guys were marveling over what a new concept it was. Mm-hmm. And I think that deserves to be recognized.
Oh, and believe me, I was like,
okay.
I'm glad you didn't stop talking, because
that makes sense. That makes sense. Fire Emblem can take a hike.
Yeah, because every game on this list...
Fire Emblem can burn in hell.
You know, every game that's still on the list is essentially bringing something new. It's bringing something different, innovative, or at least a fresh look on things.
All right, let's look.
Let's look at the top ten.
Let's look at our 10 and let's talk about each of the top 10 a little bit.
Sure. I'll start at the top because this is how they got pasted in. Zelda. Gentlemen,
Zelda
didn't really bring anything new to the table, surprisingly enough. But
the execution
on that game was so good. It played just enough on the nostalgia kick because you looked at that map and you went, I know where most of the stuff is here. I know how to get around. But
a solid revisitation of a classic genre.
Yeah, I will say
the
production values in that game. There's not a part of that game where I feel like they should have... You know, either spent more time on working. There's no bugs in that game.
No.
I mean, of all
there's
the times,
no water temple experience. Yeah, there's where no you just
all
hate
of the puzzles
life.
So far that
there's
I've done.
There's no weird
have
jankiness.
Been, have felt solvable.
Yeah, there's no weird jankiness. And, that game is a very well made game, and on top of that, it is a Zelda game that also takes some risks. I mean, by Nintendo standards, it's taking huge risks. With the rental system and those kind of things.
It actually did one thing entirely new.
Buying that shit's expensive, guys.
I mean, the rental is kind of different, but you could pick what order for most part you do the dungeons.
Yeah.
You can never do that before. No. So if a dungeon you enter and you go, oh, I just don't want this type. Go to the next dungeon. Who cares?
And goddamn, you get your ass kicked even with the Master Sword in the Dark World.
Yeah.
Those guys kill you quick.
Yeah.
All right,
guys, we got 9 more to go through.
GTA 5.
GTA 5
is
fucking amazing.
There was just nothing wrong with GTA 5, and that's all I can say about it.
I
It had three memorable main characters. Yep. It had incredible graphics for the systems they were presented on. The gameplay was smooth.
No
well
load
executed.
Times.
There were
or almost no
almost
load time.
No load times for the most part. There even the minor characters had plenty of depth and fun dialogue. It was just a fun experience overall. And for those of you who did the online portion too, that was also just a nice little icing on the cake.
I will say by virtue of the fact alone of them working those three characters in and making the missions interesting with the three characters and switching off,
I thought that was going to be a stupid idea.
Yeah,
agreed.
Yeah. That seemed like a brilliant. Very hard
idea. I didn't think it looked stupid, but I didn't know how they were going to pull it off, and they did.
Yeah. That was a very big surprise.
Brilliantly done.
The only thing I will say about it, like I enjoyed all of the ride. I was hoping for a bit, like the ending to actually crescendo, and it didn't feel like I got that. Like
it was kind of.
I've heard that before.
Yeah. Although at the same time, I have to say. Almost every GTA kind of has a crap ass ending.
It is. Like, it's just, I'm like, come on, guys, you got to learn this because.
And with a band.
I will say, no, Ballad of Gay Tony, that ending was awesome.
Yeah, that's true. Ballad of Gay Tony.
Ironically, the only one I haven't beaten. The
thing is, I'm not sure it's a Grand Theft Auto specific thing. It seems to happen a lot with sandbox style games.
And also just a lot of media and stuff. I mean, you know, end of TV shows and books.
At least it's a better ending than Skyrim.
Ice cream cakes.
It is a better, I mean, is it a better ending than GTA 4?
It's on par, yeah.
Okay.
All right, next.
It was more humorous, which I liked.
Okay, so. What's the next
Path
one?
Of Exile. You just, philosophical gentleman.
I already did that.
I'm just going to say that it was something that the market desired.
Yeah.
And that after like a couple of disappointments over the last couple of years, it was refreshing to see that we got exactly what we wanted.
I'll say one quick thing.
Go for it.
For a random company called Grinding Gear Games out of New Zealand to go up against Diablo 3
and make a better
Torchlight
version
2
of it.
And make a better version and a more innovative version than they could ever possibly hope to make. Yeah. Is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, then make it free.
And make it free to play.
Inspirational. And making it free to play. And it's making tons of money. And okay. Let's go.
Yeah.
All right, guys. I've already said more than I need to say about The Last of Us. I mean, I've talked about it over the course of the year. I feel like
Last of Us is
beautiful.
Our Walking Dead from.
I want you guys to play that.
The Last
so bad.
Of Us, technologically impressive. Storyline, characters, voice acting, it's really got it all.
Yeah, I mean, it really, like, the ending of that, and I've said it before, hit me better, more emotionally than the ending of Bioshock Infinite, which is, I mean, that's why I'm so passionate about it, because you guys said that was so emotionally resonant with you, and I felt the same way the first time I played Bioshock Infinite, but then when I played The Last of Us, I'm like, that's, how did you top what the guys at 2K did, or Rash, who was it?
2K.
Was it 2K? Okay.
I love those little things, like when, what is it, Ellie?
Yes.
When Ellie found the joke book.
Yeah.
That is pretty
That
cool.
was just so small, and it fleshed out so much.
I was actually like, oh man, I want to try to play Last of Us before we do the podcast, and I was like, oh, it's this week, huh? Never mind.
Dan, you said that, I think, yesterday to
me. Did I say that yesterday to
you?
Yeah.
All right, what do we got
I think
next?
Kevin had the swapper. He's already made his very, very passionate plea for that. So
unique puzzle game. Yep. Very fresh take.
Is that still on Steam? How much is it on Steam?
It's pretty cheap. I mean, it's, I think, $10.
I wish I had a better name.
Yeah,
the name's forgettable.
Really, it feels like
should be called like Dissonance.
It feels like it should be about like some 45-year-old dude who goes around to different swap meets and garage sales. He's like one of those dudes who starts with a paperclip and is trying to trade his way up to like
a yacht. Me a Camaro.
I played Craigslist the game,
but it's super like artistic and shit. Where he's just like looking at the camera longingly for like.
I will trade this paperclip for those two rubber bands. Deal. I will trade those two rubber bands for this.
Broken folding chair.
It's really like a metaphor for life or something.
All right, next.
Okay.
Bioshock Infinite, guys.
Bioshock Infinite, I think its main attraction was the story because it's an incredible story.
Setting.
But the setting was beautiful, really cohesive. The art involved, the pacing of the story was also brilliant. It didn't tell a story that I couldn't have guessed at ever. I mean, parallel universes and probability control and that kind of thing. Those have been old sci-fi tropes for a long time.
There's always a lighthouse.
But for me, Infinite finally, to me, it was like a definitive answer to the answer to the question, can games be art? And it felt like art to me. It was beautifully put together, and I, despite all the criticisms about it, I thought it was a real winner of a game.
I feel like BioShock Infinite and GTA 5 are great examples of why you would spend $200 million on making a game.
Yeah,
they really elevate those are, games like that. Really elevate the level of what. Mm-hmm. Like AAA houses are aspired.
And I'll say this about the ending. That is one of the only games I think in memory where after the game I felt like I had to talk to somebody because I was, we chatted online for like a good like 40 minutes afterwards because I was just like, I don't know what to do now. Like it's like that and the end of Walking Dead where I was just like, I don't know what to do. Like, what do I do now? Like,
you know how it made me feel? My favorite novel of all time, well, one of my favorite novels of all time is Battle Royale, which I know you guys have seen the movie, but I bet you guys haven't read the book. But the way the book has this literary device where it constantly, at the end of each chapter, it says how many students are remaining in the lower right-hand corner. So it says like 32 students remaining, 16 students remaining, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So the very last page of the book is it's an open-ended thing where the guy and the girl are running away from the cops and you don't know what's going to happen to them next. It just says, you know, we have to run, so they run. And then on the very back page, it's very easy to miss, at the very bottom of the page it says two students remaining, the game is over, or no, it says the game's over, two students remaining, but of course they're part of you now.
Mm.
And you have nowhere to go with that. You just have to carry it around with you. Yeah. Like at the end of Cowboy Bebop, when Spike dies and it says you're going to carry that weight at the very end.
Well, now I never can watch Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah, on the black field.
Dude, it's been like 10, 15 years.
Yeah, spoilers. It's been out for 20 years.
I had avoided that the whole time.
No, come on.
No, please. Honestly, yeah, I had no idea.
There's also, I mean, at some point, there's, no, I'm just saying at some point.
Statute of limitations, I get it. Yeah. But like, just like, that's like.
Oh, you're more shocked.
I'm just like, wow, that sucks.
I didn't know you hadn't seen it, but the point is that BioShock Infinite was one of those stories.
He's been resurrected as Keanu Reeves now, too.
No.
It's one of those endings where at the end, you carry it around with you.
Yeah. Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
I don't even care about this list anymore.
Well, let's get through it, and then
I can tell you're a huge Cowboy Bebop fan because you still haven't watched it.
I watched several episodes. I started the series, and then because we were borrowing
20
it.
Years old.
Yeah, but it's only shown entirely on Adult Swim like 15 or 30 times.
Whatever,
it's not accessible.
Thanks, guys.
I watched the whole series in
2 weeks. You know how to make a guy feel real good about himself. It's not like it's something I had, you know, actively tried to avoid.
He's more just shocked at the ending. Yeah. He's not shocked that you spoiled it.
I know.
We're just giving John a hard time because we give John a hard
time.
Jesus.
So what's the next game?
All right, John, what's the next?
Well, I guess it's time to pile on me some more because Beyond Two Souls is the
next
game.
No, I'll defend you.
I got nothing to say. I haven't played it.
It's the other Ellen Page movie.
I saw two extended parts of that game, and I thought those two sequences were fantastic, where she starts in the snow and they go to the submarine station.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thanks!
And then there's the... Ellen Page is actually a submarine.
I'm out.
She's a big tank. She's a tank, all right. Yeah, that's a fantastic... And also her getting ready for her...
Her date?
Yeah, her date. I thought that was pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. What's the next one?
Spoilers.
Spoilers.
The soul. I don't want to spoil the soul.
Oh.
Because you might play it.
Do you go beyond the two souls?
You find out who the soul is.
It's her mom or dad. The cat.
Ben Vereen.
It's her from the future.
Emmanuel Lewis.
Ben Linus.
None of you are right.
So. Webster.
Ben Stiller.
Do you want me to tell you?
Mr. Papadopoulos.
No, I don't want you to tell
me. Mr. Papadopoulos.
I want you to play it. That was another reason that came on my list.
Okay, what's up? What's next?
Saints Row 4! Yay! Kevin and I really like that game a lot.
That game, just fun.
They just live.
Hey,
Dan Helmick, tell them how I reacted when that started.
You laughed.
I clapped my hands like a seal with Cheetos.
What? You did
Cheeto
look
covered hands.
You did look kind of like a really excited, like retarded 18-year-old.
Exactly.
Who just found out about masturbation.
Dude, it was fucking
yay,
awesome.
Masturbation.
That's how happy that moment made me. It took me back in time.
I don't think we need to say it.
Please
anymore.
Stop, Kevin.
I don't think we need to say it anymore.
Yay.
Gunpoint.
You didn't have to point at your own dick. I learned how to sew a vagina in my Bert acting bigger.
Gunpoint. 3 hours of quite possibly some of the best gaming of the year.
Yeah. Right, and how can we link Gunpoint to the mentally handicapped?
Rocket pants.
Magic rocket pants.
Yeah, Gunpoint is... Yeah, innovative. It's funny.
Good humor.
Who knew
you could activate a power to make glass not make noise when you jump through it?
Yeah.
Had cool tools like the wire someone's gun up to a electrical outlet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then have them shoot at you and they...
Yeah, they zap themselves. Yeah. There's some good stuff in there.
Rewiring light switches.
That sounds dumb. I'd like to take it out of the top 10 now.
All right, we gotta get.
And you asked for it. You wanted power through Monaco at our last entry on the list.
I think by virtue of the fact that it was
nobody here but the screaming loud.
Yes,
we had a great time, and it came out of nowhere.
Freedom.
Yes,
and it wasn't just us. It resonated with a lot of the gamers out there when
Gentlemen,
it came out.
I clean.
It's like they took Pac-Man and made like.
The fun part was starting out as one character and realizing I liked playing the cleaner better.
Yeah. And then I started out as a cleaner, and then I became the computer guy?
Yep. The hacker. Yeah.
Who did I end up playing?
Were the woman, weren't you?
Yeah, the woman.
No, I wasn't.
No, I played the woman whenever I had to.
You were the map person?
I was that dick who always...
Explorer.
The scouter.
The scout. Yeah.
As the mole.
Yeah,
is good.
Yeah, those parts where it's just like, oh, how do we get out of here? Then Kevin comes through the wall.
Hey, guys.
It's like, need a doorway?
Or oh, shit. They have found us.
Those times where I'd be carrying the bombs, break through a wall, put a bomb on ground, and run like hell.
And you know, that game, every level started out the same. There's like 15 seconds
right, guys,
of
let's be
like
quiet,
super
we're gonna
quiet.
Make our way through here, and then first alarm gets hit.
Sheet,
sheet,
and
sheet
then
scatter.
I'm breaking walls and
yeah.
Oh,
get to the vent.
Yeah, if I had to pick, like, we said it already. The best multiplayer game. Okay, bye.
Cool, man.
That's a good
is that
list.
It? That's a good list.
That's a good list.
That's a good list.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good list. I'm happy with that list. I'm happy with the other games that we
Sorry,
talked
Shadow
about.
Sorry, Shadowrun Returns.
I would have put that in my
you
top
tried
10.
Hard. You know, I think next year the Berlin campaign is going to make it all worthwhile.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think quite a few of the games that we see on this list are coming back next year.
I would actually be kind of excited to see what the news story I read about that, where the people are actually reporting the SNES Shadowrun game into Shadowrun Returns.
Yeah, they've been working on that since it came out.
That would be kind of cool.
Maybe, yeah.
Would you have like a party? Because aren't you just one person in the...
Yeah, but you could hire runners.
What can I do? I'm just one person.
I'm just a shaman, street samurai.
Hacker. Decker, yeah, sorry. All right, guys. One thing I wanted to start on. 2014, what are we looking forward to?
The what?
2014. Or do we want to save that for next week?
I'm looking forward to...
Watch Dogs game delayed again.
Don't do that to
me. Yeah, let's let it be the KOTOR of... Of the PS4.
The Duke Nukem Forever of the PS4.
What? Watch Dogs in October?
That was they were talking about that this week.
Yeah, they said delayed second half.
Yeah,
I am looking forward to Hyrule Warriors. I don't care who says what.
Is that coming out next year?
You'll have to play with me because I'm the only one with a Wii U.
Is that coming out next year?
I don't know.
Oh, you'll be so balls deep in your Xbox One, you won't notice if I buy it for your Wii U.
I still won't play it with you.
You can play on the screen.
Na, 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 na. Look at me. Fuck you, Lubu!
That was a pretty surprising
I'll play Tingle.
That was weird.
I like, Tingle uses a scythe. I have no idea why.
What?
I saw a lot of comments where people were like, is it April? No. What the fuck? Because it looked like an April Fool's joke.
Yeah.
But yeah, that might be pretty cool. It might get me to play one of those types of games because that's not my wheelhouse. But I like Zelda. So.
I'll be looking forward to picking up.
What
PS4
are the other characters?
What are you playing? What are the other characters?
Sheik, Zelda, Tingle, okay. Tingle in a pink dress,
Ganon,
Tingle,
Nabi,
Sahasha, Halala,
hey! Child Link, adult Link,
old man in cave,
old sage guy.
And Solid Snake.
Yes.
Sonic.
And you could ride a Ponya.
They should just make Nintendo Warriors.
That's what they should have done.
Kami.
It's called Smash Brothers.
Yeah, but no, but like the
Dynasty Warriors
thing,
with Nintendo
But
characters.
Like all the
What
characters.
Would the conflict be?
Fucking, I don't know. They made Kingdom Hearts. They can make that kind of game. Just like
you got a
some
point.
Kind of.
He's got a
no,
point.
Yeah.
I know how it could work. So Dynasty Warriors, you know,
Sin Harvest.
No, it's one empire versus another.
Yeah.
So how
Does
about all the good guys
no,
versus
no.
all the bad guys?
Sin
Bowser,
Harvest,
Ganon, yeah. they're all teamed up.
Sin Harvest was Lance Beth Sephiroth's one hit kill attack.
Oh.
If you didn't jump away from it a certain way, you'd go, Sin Harvest, then turn red and go, and you just die.
Oh, is this from Kingdom Hearts?
Yeah.
Oh, I fucking have no clue what happened in that game.
I played like
Sin Harvest.
An hour and a half of that. I didn't get off of the beach, I think.
That game is great.
I played an hour and a half and I hated it.
I know better than to argue with people who like Kingdom Hearts because they will stab me and I don't want to get stabbed.
Dude, Lou would probably get violent with how obsessed he was.
I loved that game. I beat everything.
So I'm looking forward not to get stabbed.
Yeah.
I'm also
Dan, are you
going
to jump into the next gen?
No.
There no console ever?
I'm not going to say ever,
okay.
But I don't have a desire right now.
I want to play Infamous Second Son.
Buying a PS4 just for that.
I don't have a desire because I have a ton of games that I really love on my computer, and my computer's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You and pussy!
I have two computers that are really cool now.
And I have a lot of games that I never get to. And a lot of other, you know, Infinite Lives projects that I would like to do.
Projects?
Well, like videos and stuff.
Like RPG
that
Maker.
I would like to do that.
That's
I can
what
never...
you should stream.
Sure.
No, that would be the boringest stream in the world.
No.
I'd rather watch.
You could watch me lose my mind.
Yeah. I think that would.
Oh, God.
What the fuck is.
What's wrong with this code?
It's just like there's a webcam and you're just up against
works.
The webcam going.
Dan spends 15 minutes trying to make a game and then he switches to his browser and starts.
We need art. I can't draw. Fuck you.
What the fuck is a pixel editor?
Porn, you never let me down.
I'm looking forward to Titanfall if there's going to be a game that I'm looking forward to.
Titanfall.
Barkley 2.
I really hope I can convince at least one other person that I normally game with. Like on Steam to follow me into the Titanfall hold because I don't know I don't
David
think
won't
he's
do
going
that.
To
he doesn't play shooters
he d- well he also doesn't like competitive that
yeah.
much he likes to co-op so because I don't want to make new friends and I don't want to
new
make,
friends suck.
I don't want to make hillbilly friends
Woo,
I already have
I could enough. See Woo doing it
I have enough I have enough friends. No I mean I mean eh, I don't I think he I don't think he would. But like, I feel like
make
I have
friend.
Enough friends, and I don't want to have more
make
friends.
I don't want to meet new people.
Friend.
People are bad.
I don't want to get hillbilly friends again.
Okay.
Well, Dingle Kotor.
You know what's actually worse? I made friends playing GTA 5 with a guy in London,
and he keeps messaging you.
He
all
keeps
the goddamn
messaging
time.
Me all the time, and I can't understand anything he says because he types in London.
London
slang.
Tech speak.
Cockney.
So it's like a lot of orphan args, and I feel like I have to read everything out loud to figure out what the fuck he's talking about.
Hey,
I gotta show you some of these guys' messages. They're completely gibberish.
They're batshit insane.
Yeah, I feel the same way when I go to the Philippines.
Plus, he calls me Jackie Legs and cracks his because my name is Jack Von Bonsai on Xbox.
Yeah.
Calls me Jackie Legs and starts cracking his ass up. I was like, that's not funny. What are you even talking about? Yeah, I'm Jackie Legs. I was like, no! All right. I don't know what you mean.
Where'd the legs come from?
Gentlemen, I have
to say, Jackie Legs.
It has been a pleasure this year.
It's been a pleasure.
Whatever. Well, we've got one more podcast this year.
No, we don't. There's no more podcasts.
No more. We're calling it quits.
Yep. This is the last.
We're relaunching. As
the Infinite Plus One Lives.
We're relaunching as the Rogue Legacy Podcast. Boom, let's go.
Path of Exile cast.
We're going to make it official. Relaunch.
Morning Zoo.
All like radio.
Hey, like Infinite Lives Morning Zoo coming at you.
All right. We're talking about top 10 games.
Anyways, everyone.
So what's hot on the street with Grand Theft Auto 5?
Thank you for listening, gentlemen. Happy 2013. Drop the mic.
Hey, Virtual Boy, let's talk about it.
Yeah, it's like in 3D, and I don't know. I don't know. Sometimes I'm in
Kevin,
red.
We're done.
Sometimes it's black.
We
I don't know.
Are done.
All right, bye.
Bye, everybody.
How about that Sega CD?
It's good.
Okay, we're good.